You're listening to a Ragnarok Actual Play. If you like what you hear and want to share your thoughts with us, you can follow us on Twitter at Ragnarok, like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Ragnarok, email us at info@ragnarok.com, leave us a voicemail at 516-362-6373, or comment on our website. Ragnarok is also available through iTunes, so be sure to check us out there as well. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the game.
Even the crocodile hunter can control these.
Thanks, Eric. We're recording.
All right, we're ready?
Good.
All right.
I meant that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play. This evening, we're going to be playing Wushu.
Wushu!
This is only the second time some of us
have played. Extra pancakes.
This is the first time I've played it.
I'm a baby Wushu.
Well, I said some of us, because I think Ed, Alex, Meyer, and Will and I have played it once.
That was a long while ago.
Getting their hopes up.
Yeah. I don't think Will played, though.
Will kind of sat there.
Will played for only a couple of seconds. He was like, yeah, I wish you'd die.
That's a perfect
one die.
All right. So we are actually rebooting a series that we've been running for quite some time off the air. It is a wacky superhero adventure series called the No Way Squad.
No Way Squad!
East Coast. The premise is basically that when other people say no way, they're the ones that you call. So they get to deal with all the crazy bullshit that goes on. And rather than subject you guys to a bunch of in-jokes that you don't understand, we are completely rebooting the series with a new cast of characters. So we'll have all new in-jokes that you can all follow since you've been listening.
You're welcome.
But is Pete Vice going to be here?
Thanks for letting me join.
You're all going to be
you'll
in
find
this
out.
One.
You'll find out.
Still make some in-jokes that nobody will understand.
Of course. You're welcome.
Some references. Well, that'll be for us, and if you, as the listeners, want to know what the hell we're talking about, feel free to ask.
If you want to know why we stopped the game and laugh for 5 minutes about something that doesn't have any humor to you, that's why.
Let's cut that out anyway.
Why don't we go around the table... This game is going to be set in Boston, by the way, because it's No Way Squad East Coast.
Boston.
The original was in San Francisco.
Bean Town. Ed, why don't you begin?
All right. I am Chortlebot 3000. Chortlebot 3000 is a massive automaton programmed to be a stand-up comedian. But after standing too close to a microwave, his humor circuits became fused.
Sumer circuits.
And now he can't tell a complete joke. But people tend to laugh at his jokes because he's about 9 feet tall and covered in spikes and has a mounted chain gun on one shoulder and a mounted rocket launcher on the other shoulder.
So, rocket launcher?
Yeah. People laugh at his jokes because they don't want to die.
No,
because
they're genuinely funny, sir.
It's nervous.
But I feel like he would never actually hurt someone for not laughing at his
jokes. No, he's a very gentle creature. But still,
he's just very imposing.
Right.
His creators intended the spikes and the mounted weaponry to be ironic.
Oh man, now I want to make hipster bot.
Eric,
he can't make it.
Built by a hipster
he can't make it because now it's already been thought of. All right, my character is Rusty Buckshot. I picture him very much like a Team Fortress sniper. If anyone, well, I'm sure a lot of
our listeners are, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very...
What's a sniper?
He's a very off-putting character. He's good with guns, because obviously, if he's a sniper, he has to be. He has pretty much whatever guns he needs. He can load it with all crazy different kinds of ammo, whatever he needs for the situation.
Is he totally about wasting noobs?
Yes.
Is he no-scope?
Of course. Effortlessly. The only thing is... He has difficulty doing anything in life that doesn't involve guns. Picture the episode of The Simpsons where Homer had a gun and he was turning his TV off with his gun.
And
his lights, yes.
I need to see what he's like when he asks someone out on a date.
Or when he jerks off.
Only did that once.
I think anyone can handle that one without a gun.
I can't.
Speaking of handling things without a gun, Chris. It was a transition. It's fine.
Really.
I missed it.
I was going to make sure it was the same way, but
let me see if I can make it more awkward. What, Ed? Did you say my name?
I did.
Why?
It's your turn, Chris.
Oh. Okay. The character I made is Neon Upduck. He's from, I don't know, somewhere in South America along the Amazon. He was in some weird tribe. You know, one that hadn't been up to date with everyone else. What's that word? Civilized, maybe?
I don't think a civilized tribe would be up to date with anything.
They didn't have iPhones yet.
Well, anyway.
They're still using the iPhone.
iPad 1. Those
assholes. Yeah. He still has a flip phone.
Wow. You know, he has a pager.
A beeper.
Yeah. Well, he has a pager.
Rumor has it they play Atari.
Actually, I'm going to draw that on his picture here. Hold on. Beeper. Okay.
All right, so how did he end up in Boston? What are his...
Well, at some point, some nature-y people came down to make a documentary on their weird tribe and...
Nature. Chris has done extensive research on this character in case he can't.
Some nature-y people.
Yeah.
Some tribe on the Amazon.
National Geo is something or other.
National Geo Smackbrick.
Lampoon?
It's the one with the orange... actually, orange is too close.
Zubooks?
Orange is an orange. Zubooks.
He was interviewed by the people from Zubooks.
Anyway, he's incredibly boring and he controls animals. And he has his own TV show about animals.
Okay.
He went back to Boston, to the United States, with those people that came down that I was talking about.
And they gave him his own TV show because
he can control animals. And he's boring as all hell. But he still has a TV show.
All right.
Check out this gopher. I made him walk.
Over here is a gopher. They live in the ground. They like to dig holes and live in them. In the ground.
Oh, you're the opposite of...
And now I will make the gopher dance.
Gopher is not good for eating. Too stringy. Go ahead, Meyer. I'm done.
I will be playing Dr. Walter Octavian Augustus Jones X. He is a doctor in every single field you can possibly have a doctorate in. He is 102 years old. Young. He's a... He's kind of short, a little chubby. He has the ability to teleport, and he has a sword cane.
Hey, everyone. Storm Stormson here, former host of Boston's third-rated evening news broadcast. Former weatherman, actually. Boston's third-rated evening news broadcast. But Storm left his profession a few years ago to travel to China to study the ancient art of weather foo from a master. And that's where he learned how to control the weather.
Was the master Mr. G?
No. What? That doesn't... No.
Mr. G is a weatherman.
Yeah.
No. Only people in the metro New York area have any chance of understanding that joke, Ed.
Barely any of them, too.
I forgot. My guy has short-term memory loss.
That's a good thing you forgot it.
No, you didn't forget. You were just in character already.
No, honestly, that's what I can't remember.
Myers' character is a super genius, but he has difficulty remembering what he had for breakfast this morning because he's 102 years old.
I literally waited to do that because of the joke.
Oh.
I thought it was funny. What about you, Chorlbot?
Storm can control weather, but only on a macro scale. So if he wants to bring a tornado down on the enemy they're facing, he has to bring tornadoes down over the entire city. But that's okay because this is a no-way squad game. He's also very charming and has a disarming smile that he generally uses to disarm people in combat.
But he does not like Mr. G jokes.
No. Mr. G is one of his competitors in a different market. He's always wearing a power suit and tie, and he has impeccably styled hair, and his teeth are so perfect they actually shine.
What about Al Roker? That's a weatherman everyone knows.
Ooh. Yeah, well, he's a national.
He went to the same college as me.
Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
I used to eat a sandwich named after Al Roker. It was delicious.
Al Roker does national weather, then they always cut to the local affiliate.
Right.
So if he's third-rated, he probably was the local affiliate for a while, but he was the evening newscast.
So did he learn weather foo from Al Roker?
Al Roker was the grand master of weather foo.
All right, yes. He traveled to China to study weather foo under Al Roker.
Who was somebody in America.
Who himself learned from Willard Scott.
He traveled to China. He traveled to China and then took an internet course.
A correspondence course. He started the ancient art of weather foo with Al Roker. That's a much better story.
Did Walter Cronkite know how to do tell weather?
No. Walter Cronkite was not a weatherman.
No, indeed not.
That's the way it was.
And Mr. G was his class rival.
Walter Cronkite wasn't a douchebag. He was cool.
I'm working Mr. G into this
no,
game.
No, I said he was a newsman.
Oh.
Walter Cronkite's like a personal hero of mine. I would not call him a douchebag.
That's why I was surprised. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about Walter Cronkite.
I was like Peter Jennings.
Yeah. That's the way it was.
Walter Cronkite.
That's the way it was. Fuck off, America.
All right, let's get to Derek.
Oh, finally, Derek. I will be bringing into this lovely universe Edward Rolodex, otherwise known as Rolodex. He is in his late 20s and didn't realize he had any powers because he had spent his youth watching television and playing WoW. But then one day realized he had this special gift of photographic reflexes or muscle memory where he can see something, a physical act done, and then reproduce it. However, he only lasts for an hour, so he carries an iPod that he can go through a bunch of videos on to refresh his memory. The sad thing is he has very, very poor cardiovascular health. So he can do some amazing things, but he's take a break after that.
It'd probably make more sense if he had an iPhone, so you could just look it up on 3G.
iPhone it is.
Did he first discover that ability by playing through the first Super Mario Brothers without playing once? Or using any of the warps?
No.
I don't think that would, because you'd have to watch the guy with the controller.
That's right. True.
Right, yeah.
All right. Now I wanted to kick off this game with a little bit of a free form segment here that sort of turns things over to you guys, get you into your character.
All right, taking off my shirt.
Not that free form.
I mean, does
get you in mind of your characters, what kind of baddies you fight. So what I'd like to do is go around and we go in any order you guys want. Everybody gets to set up a scene where their character faces off against some kind of threat. Everybody gets four threat, and the way I want to work this is basically you tell me what the scene is, if there are some guys robbing a bank and you're going to stop them, that's the fight. They get four threat and you get to fight them. The other thing too is if you want to write yourself into someone else's scene, it's sort of like I show up in the middle and help save the day. Then you add your scene's threat to their scene, and you both fight the bad guys together.
Okay.
So if anybody has any kind of ideas...
I have an idea.
Okay.
Does anyone want some of these dice before I put them away?
I can use those.
Fine, Eric. Anyone else?
Now, do you have different colored dice?
I do. I have assorted colors.
No, dice. I meant for you.
Yes, for me as well.
All right, so I'll set the scene first.
Okay.
I just need some white dice.
How many
dice, Eric?
How many is the most we need?
What happened to your big bag at
the most? I need to find it.
Oh, God. Like, how many is the most we need ever?
I would say you're probably good with, five.
Five?
Yeah. As long as everybody has five dice of different colors.
Okay, so
different colors.
People may borrow those
dice.
Well,
you want, white and other colors.
I don't know whose dice these
are. As long as you can differentiate between the colors... Because you get to...
I'm colorblind, Ryan.
Well, like I said, as long as you can differentiate between the colors, or I guess in your case, the shades.
Right. Yeah. Can you go for gray and gray, please?
So, Chortlebot...
Whose dice are these?
Ryan's.
So, Chortlebot 3000 has accidentally intimidated his way onto the judge's panel for last comic standing.
Why do you need different colors?
And...
Because sometimes during combat you roll offense and defense.
Is a new
so
comic scene
you roll
the
left
both
at the same time.
I like to leave these applications.
When through the back enters his nemesis, the heckler.
Okay.
Wait, is this another robot or is this a guy?
This is a robotic comedy critic.
The Heckletron?
Yes, the Heckletron.
Okay, so here's the setup. The judges for Last Comic Standing are all seated at a table in front of a stage, and they're sort of huddled together in fear. The audience is fucking stone cold silent because they're all terrified of the giant robot on stage with the rockets pointed at them. When out of the back of the theater. You hear a voice, and the voice said, "Yeah, that joke is very funny. About 15 years ago."
Why, that is my arch nemesis, Heckletron. Fear not, young comedian. I shall deal with this menace for you.
The audience thinks it's a bit and starts laughing.
He's going to fight the guy.
Chernobog uses the pistons in his legs to launch himself into the air.
Okay.
And land on the back row of the audience, crushing a bunch of seats and possibly some people.
Okay.
Inches away.
Can the other two judges be Rich Little and David Spade?
Yes.
David Spade is under the table.
With his career.
Alright, Ed, so that's three details. So you get three dice. Do you have a relevant skill?
No. I'm crushing the seats.
So yeah, roll your what is it, crushination?
Crushifying. So that's right. Five.
You get three dice.
Right.
And you have to beat five.
I have to roll lower than five.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing too is you get three dice, you can split them between attack and defense. The way threats work is they're automatically assumed to do at least one damage to you every roll. Uh-huh. So if you want to go with two offense and one defense, that should give you the possibility of negating that.
Okay, so two offense, one defense?
Yeah.
I'll do that. And so is it lower than five or does five count?
Five or lower, yeah.
Okay, so one success to hit, one success to defend.
All right, so one of Heclatron's threats goes away. And he is noticeably perturbed by the fact that you just shot yourself from the stage to the back row of the theater, crushing some hapless viewers of Last Comic Standing.
The season is rather literal.
he starts to spark a little bit. Because you've thrown off his heckling circuits. And he says, "Not funny, not funny, not funny."
You want to hear another one that isn't funny? What did one robot say to the other robot? And then I'm going to take my foot and I'm going to kick him in between his legs. Here are a couple of acres. and launch him up into the
sky.
His
robot
I get
it.
You're going to try to kick him. I'm using my rocket-powered foot.
You're going to try to kick him into the mezzanine?
Yes.
So that's four dice. Again, you can split them however you want between offense.
I'll split them evenly. Let's see. I'll do pips and no pips for... This will be offense, this will be defense.
All right.
So that's two and two. Two and two.
All right, so two more of Heclatron's threat goes away as he is catapulted into the mezzanine, crushing even more helpless viewers of... Last Comic Standing. You hear a weak electronic sputter come from the mezzanine, and he says, "Your humor is overly topical."
Alright.
Fire your missile at him.
You'll need some topical cream after the missile I shoot you. When you explode and it hurts.
Topical cream, tis.
You know what else is topical? Explosions.
That's exactly. You know what else is topical? Explosions. And I'm going to launch a missile over the balcony of the guardrail of the balcony, landing directly on his face and probably destroying the whole front row of the mezzanine, as well as the pillars that are holding it up, bringing the whole thing collapsing down
on top of the
already destroyed Heckletron.
All right, that's five dice then. Again, you can split attack and defense however you want.
All right, defense, attack. That's two and two.
Two and two. All right. And you fire a missile into the mezzanine, which then promptly collapses into the orchestra. Now you are literally the last comic standing.
The heckler is defeated. You may continue enjoying the program.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Dust and debris and stone and parts of seats raining down.
And a little bit of David Spade.
Lots of organs.
Unless you gotta play a song or something.
The audience. you turn to proclaim your victory to the audience, which has now completely evacuated the theater.
When they say knock 'em dead, I didn't think they really meant that you should carry it with you also.
And then the last comic standing goes to commercial.
We'll be back after this.
All right, Ed, that was a really great scene. I appreciated that. Anyone else have an idea of what their character...
I'll go for it.
Okay.
The scene is a Starbucks. Rollo is at a table looking at some videos on the internet, drinking a large, what's large?
Venti.
Starbucks Venti.
Venti.
Strawberry Frappuccino. So, and in walks two ski-masked, felons with large handguns.
Okay.
To rob the Starbucks.
All right. One of the ski-masked villains goes, "Give me all the money in the fucking register and all of the cake pops, but not the tiramisu ones. Those are bad."
They have tiramisu cake pops?
Yeah.
Don't try them. They're apparently bad.
No, actually, they're quite good, but he doesn't like them.
Well, then he needs to die.
Oh, that'll happen.
I was going to say, how could anyone not like tiramisu?
Right, so you can tell
he's
back.
One of the guys has a bag, and he's walking his way up to the register. He's got a handgun trained on the cashier. The other one is just sort of menacing the patrons. Let's say he's screaming about everybody giving up their wallets. And he's got a garbage bag. He's going around collecting people's wallets.
While they're doing that, Rollo gently slides over into his laptop and types in on YouTube the history of violence. proceeding to quickly download to quickly download into his memory the diner scene from that some said film. Quickly leaps to his feet over the bar, grabs a large pot of coffee, throwing it into the face of one of the assailants, and sticks one of those thermometers they put in the cappuccino machine.
Right.
Grabs one of those and shoves it into the eye of the other.
Okay, that's good for five dice. Again, you can split them however you want. Attack,
we'll go
defense.
Red is attack, blue is defense. Okay.
And I guess that would be your muscle memory.
Yes. Control. So three and one. three on the attack, one on the defense.
Okay, so you don't take any damage. Three of their threats go away, but one of the guys is still up. We'll say the guy who you leap across the counter, you grab the pot of coffee and
right.
the thermometer. You throw the coffee in the guy's face and smash the coffee pot over his head, and he goes down for the count. You stab the other guy with the thermometer in the eye, and he screams and blood gouts out of his eye socket, but he just looks at you like he's pissed because you've just driven something through his eye into his frontal lobe, and now he has no control over his more base emotions. And he raises his gun at you, and he is going to shoot you.
All right. In response... I move out of the way of the bullet, as one would see in Reno Williams, The Adventure Begins, which is a sidestep and a slant, not, however, the crazy Matrix stuff.
Okay. Because
that's just ridiculous. so I sidestep the gun, I take his hand and I deliver a punch to the elbow, holding the wrist of the gun hand in one hand and delivering a punch to the other.
Okay, so you're gonna like try to snap his arm?
Yeah.
Alright, I'd say that's good for three dice.
Three dice. So we'll go 2 and 1. Oh, 1 and 1.
1 and 1. Okay, so you don't take any damage. You deftly sidestep the bullet. Every patron in the place just goes slack-jawed watching you. You grab the guy by the wrist and punch him in the elbow, severing his arm.
Severing his arm. Oh, damn. Okay.
He goes down, you know, gushing blood from both his elbow stump and his eye socket as you turn his own gun and arm on him.
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking. Not the whole removal part, but everything else works out.
And you're a little bit windy.
I'm fanning myself with the arm.
You ask one of the baristas
for a glass
of water. That's too funny for you. Oh, yeah, sorry. Can I get a glass of water, please? Oh, Jesus Christ.
And a shot of espresso?
The barista gives it to you on the house.
Right. Somebody look up from their MacBook annoyed, and then...
All right, I've got one.
All right.
All right. Storm Stormson is walking down the streets of Boston one day when all of a sudden he sees a purse snatcher in front of him stealing a purse from a lovely old lady.
Is she lovely?
Oh, she's nice. She looks nice. Isn't she lovely? And she's going, help me, help me. And the guy rips the purse from her and takes off.
You brute, you brute.
So Storm Stormson sees this. What?
You're going to destroy half the city.
Yep. Stormson sees this. And I start chasing after the guy, my feet pounding against the pavement. As I do, the sky grows pitch black and dark, and thunder starts rumbling. All of a sudden, a gale force wind comes blowing down the street, sending the guy flying backwards.
I'd say that's good for four dice, Akon.
All right,
again,
so...
you can attack or defend, split them however you want.
I'm going to go 3 and 1. That is one... Yeah, I should give my weather manipulation more. One. Attack.
Okay, so one of his threats goes away. But we'll say that a U.S. postal mailbox is torn from its mooring in the sidewalk by the gale-forced winds and manages to clip you as it flies by.
Okay, so what does that mean for me?
You're dead. You can spend a chi to negate it.
Okay, and if I don't?
Otherwise you get knocked down.
And then what?
And then the guy gets away. No. Yeah, that's the end of your scene.
All right, so I will spread the chi then.
All right, so yeah, you give that in.
How do we get chi back?
By doing dramatic things.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. If you spend any chi during your intro scene, I'll just give it back to you. Once you're done. All right, so Akos, this gale force wind picks this guy up and blows him down half of a block and... He lands basically like splayed out on a telephone pole, but like 10 feet up. So he is being held there by the like 200 mile an hour. you can see his face rippling.
Everyone on the street is just ducking for cover and running inside. Suddenly, I calmly walk over to him. The rain is just coming down in sheets. A straight torrent of water causing flash floods for like 5 square blocks. And I walk over to him and I yell up, "Hey there, friend! You probably shouldn't be doing that! Why don't you return that purse?" Using my charm. I want to charm him into returning the purse.
I'd say that's good for 4 dice.
Alright. I'm going to try 3 and 1 again. Much better. 3 and 1.
Alright.
Three attack, 1...
One defense.
The rest of his threat goes away. You can see as his face ripples in the wind. he's crying, and you can see that through the rain.
As the tears go flying off his face.
Fine. Just get me down. Just make it stop. And he drops the purse, and it goes flying down the block and disappears like blocks of
air. I let the winds ease up, and he comes falling down. Don't let me catch you again. And I will flash him my award-winning smile.
The old lady, he's just like laying in a heap, crying and kissing the ground. The old lady walks by. Her clothing is all torn. Her hair is just completely messed up and puffed out. And she, thank you, young man.
My pleasure, ma'am. Have a nice day. The sky should be sunny.
You've just been saved by Stormy Storms.
Big thumbs up. How many people died?
I don't know. Alex, roll a d6.
Not off the table.
How did I fuck that up? Four.
Four. All right, I'm going to say that one died, and there were three injuries.
Okay. Come on, it wouldn't be a good No Way Squad scene if there wasn't at least some collateral damage.
We'll say, how about this? The old lady falls down, she had a heart attack and died.
After I turned away.
After you rescued her purse from
her. How many people did I kill?
Roll 66s, please.
Anyone unlucky enough to be in the mezzanine and in the orchestra underneath the mezzanine? So probably
also
about
people you
60
on.
People.
Oh yeah, the people I jumped on.
And the people you jumped on. So Akos, here's your
feedback.
And we just got Eric, right. Chris, and Meyer.
Alright. I imagine that my guy to Mr. Buckshot here to practice his talents. He maybe lives in a bad area of town. He'll usually just sit somewhere maybe a little bit out of view and leave some of his valuables on the lawn.
So. The problem is he does this a lot, so people haven't learned it.
It's alright, the people that learn are dead from gunshots.
Exactly.
Alright, so
there's just a Blu-ray player on the lawn.
You're standing behind a tree. There's a folding card table on your front lawn with a sign that says, "Mine, please don't take."
Actually, I'm not behind the tree, I'm in the tree.
You're in the tree, okay. Yeah. So you've got like a hollowed out tree.
I'm up in the tree.
Oh, okay, you're up in the tree. Oh,
I imagine you're like a temple
card.
Yeah.
I like a hollow tree better.
Like a temple card.
How about a hollow tree hiding in a different tree?
This is really helpful for all the audio listeners.
So, Eric, which is it? Are you up in the branches?
I'm up in the branches.
So you're up in the branches. You've got
there's not even really a tree. He's just wearing brown and holding up.
He's got like camouflage, like tree house.
Like a hunter's perch.
You've got your rifle. What are you armed with when you're hunting bad guys?
I don't think I need a sniper rifle for this.
What's the gun called that it's like a sniper rifle game that like shoots like tanks or?
It's called an anti-tank gun or an anti-material gun.
That's even bigger.
That's a pretty cool gun.
Anti-material guns can also
so just like a regular rifle.
Yeah, I just figured a regular rifle. I don't know too much about guns. So.
Winchester.
Sure.
You said
it's like a loose. You said that before. Sorry. Bringing it back.
She's the material girl.
Yeah.
Eric, because you live in a bad neighborhood, people would be tempted by this, but most of the folks around here know you and they know not to mess with your, gold-plated pocket watch and. I don't know, what else do you have? Do you have
a cup of diamonds.
One of those upside down postage stamps with the plane on it.
Yeah. And there's a binder that says stamp collection, very valuable.
collection is spelled with a K.
A group of teenage street toughs with spiked up hair and chains walk down the street all together.
They look like they're thugs from like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, yes. They're decked out in like 80s punk rock style, dyed tips and shit. And one of them says, "Oh, cool, awesome, free diamonds."
One of them has to be named Raz.
Raz, go get those diamonds for me, man.
Sure thing, Brock.
you got it, man.
Raz is just this tall, skinny, bald. He's like bald on the sides of his head with really spiky mohawk.
And he's got piercings.
Yeah. All around his tiny, tiny top jeans. And Brock is just this big, like, bulky dude. Spiky hair.
Alright, so Raz goes and begins to approach the card table and reaches for the diamonds.
Alright, I've seen him making his approach. They're a little noticeable in this type of gear. So I like to inscribe the name of the person I'm going to kill on my bullet. So I write flock of seagulls haircut man on the bullet. Loaded up.
That's a lot to write on a brick bullet.
I'm good.
Penmanship is one of his skills.
Can we just give Eric a free die and he can, like, writing out a grain of rice? He has that talent.
I will perch out and try to point the gun in such a way that it's maybe going with some of the branches still behind some of the leaves so they're not noticing at first, even though it doesn't matter if they notice it because they're going to be dead in a second. And I cock the gun back, take aim, and blast them away.
All right, that's three dice. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go with two attack, one defense.
Okay.
It's under my gun play, obviously. Two hits for attack, one for defense.
Okay. So, Raz reaches out for the cup of diamonds, and then his head explodes.
Hey, I got the diamonds!
His
cup of diamonds.
His arms jerk up and comically flail like he's grabbing for his head before his body drops.
I'm doing with my head up before I get a chance to get my diamonds.
When did this become a trauma film?
It's always
I hear the Vulcan skull be boom, boom,
boom. It's really sad, but I think the cup of diamonds is the thing I am most proud of having come up with in a long time.
the other gang members look around and he's up in the tree. Get him! And they start.
I'm saying, like, one of them like pulls out a chain length of chain. The other has like a butterfly knife.
That one's the crowbar.
The board with a nail stuffed through it.
Brock just has a board.
Hey, that guy killed my buddy.
All right.
Yo, Raz, you okay?
All right. I'm going to calmly drop out of the tree. I'm going to take a couple steps towards them, brandishing the gun, loading up with my next bullet. Let's just step right up to him.
And he's running on the way.
Dear diary, today was a really great day.
He has a really good day.
All right, I'd just like to calmly walk up to him. Bunch of folks came by here the other day. Left a good CD player out here. Say that your likes are always tempted by the shiny bits. He had a nice set of guts on him, that one. Got a bit of an assault rifle that time. Decided to mix it up from this one. Oh, man, his large intestine. I still have it draped on my wall. You want to be a part of my trophy, son?
That's messy.
I got room.
All right.
I'm using my unnerving intimidation.
I would say really? Yes. That's good for four dice.
All right, I'm going to go two and two.
Sure not using needlepoint.
only one and one in each.
Okay, one in each. So another one of their threat goes away as one of the gang members, who the big bulky dude with the with the chain, wets his pants and literally turns away and runs screaming. The gang leader who's got the board with the nail on it is the only one facing me now. And he goes, you're going to regret the day that you messed with the weasels. and he brings the board back to hit you with it.
All right.
Is Brock wearing 3D glasses?
Yes. But Brock ran away. His pants ran away.
No, he's got those glasses that have slats in them. That's all
right.
Okay. I think the third one have been wearing like the Groucho Marx glasses. That is the mustache.
All right, let's see how I'll take care of this man.
A gang filled with people with novelty glasses.
That's a trademark.
Yep, spring eyes. The
X-ray
hologram X-ray specs. It's like a gang.
All right, well, I figured...
I want to make a gang.
I figure it's a kind of big rifle, so I figure I can maybe swing the rifle up to meet the board as it's coming up.
Okay.
Not the board.
Harry with the rifle.
I figure it's a pump action.
Okay.
Like,
you're going to use the board. Okay, so you're going to parry with the rifle. You're going to use the board to work the action. And then you're going to point it at him and shoot him in the head?
Yes.
All right, so it's pretty nice.
All right, I'll just do it once for defense.
Damn.
I failed on the defense, but I hit both times with the hit.
All right, well then, the gang leader, he gets a pretty good scratch off on you with the nail. How about this?
I'm going to use the chi not to get knocked down, because
okay.
That would be badass.
He swings the board at you and buries the nail in your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes you mad. you take the rifle and shove the board out of the way. You know, quickly move it back and forth so that you work the action. Take careful aim right between his eyes.
Night.
Good night, son.
Oh. What?
I like to go pick up the diamonds and put them back in my valuables drawer.
Next to the intestines.
Now you got some more.
That's the intestines.
And your season 3 copy of Friends on DVD.
I like Joey.
Makes me giggle.
See,
Chorobot?
The only good one.
Maya and Chris.
I can go if you want.
And if you guys don't, like I said, if you don't have any ideas for scenes, you can write yourselves into each other's scenes. So.
I kind of have this idea that Meyer's scene doesn't necessarily have to be combat, but it's like someone coming to him looking for a book.
Right.
I have my own scene.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Me and Chris are discussing who just wants to go first.
Go ahead, if you've got a scene in mind, I could use a little bit more time to think.
All right.
But I think I've got what I want. Go ahead.
Well, me and my wife decided to have a nice afternoon trip to the museum, and we're at the water park, so there's a huge display, a huge life-size thing of a whale, and we're looking at it, and all of a sudden, the wall caves in, and there's a helicopter. And these three guys come out dressed as a shark, a crab, and an octopus. And they're team Atlantis Force. And they're here, and they start chaining up the whale, and they start driving away. And I'm like, oh. So I go to my wife, oh, that was a lovely show. He goes, dear. And my wife goes, dear, I think you need to save that whale. I'm like, oh. Goes teleport. Oh, and I teleport to the helicopter with the people. I go in the back seat. I teleport next to the, because you know the two seats. So I teleport in the other seat with a guy. And I'm, hello.
You should teleport right in the middle of the two of them.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, and I put out my bet. I am Dr. Walter. I have a doctor badge.
He just had... Oh, he's in a bag. He just had one of those doctor badges.
Oh, yeah, badge.
You should just have a binder full of your PhDs.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Walter Octavian Augustus Jones
X. If you would like to consult my credentials.
And I would like you to please the Messaman, please, to bring back the whale forthwith.
All right, Meyer, that'll be good for three dice. What skill are you rolling?
Oh, no. I wasn't thinking that.
What is that one?
Knowledge of everything.
Knowledge of everything.
Well, you have the teleport ability?
Yeah, the teleport would probably be there.
Okay, yeah, that's four. Yeah,
the three dice against your teleport.
Against my teleport.
Well, it's three of three dice for your teleport, and you split them any way you want between attack and defense.
You're going to teleport inside.
Wait, do you guys perform my teleport?
You roll three dice. Okay. You split them however you want between attack and defense.
How does Doc feel about the space in between spaces? Does he just forget?
Yeah.
Nice. Places.
Duck.
Ooh, good.
You want low.
No.
You want to roll at or below whatever your skill is.
He just disappears, screams terribly.
Okay, well, then I got two to attack and none to defend.
Okay. So, what did you say? You said a shark, a crab, and...
An octopus.
All right.
A shark will be, of course.
So when you teleport in, it scares the crap out of the guy dressed as a shark, and he falls out of the helicopter. Mm-hmm. You guys are out of the museum now and pretty high up as well. So you know he just disappears screaming. Mm-hmm. the crab and the octopus are taken aback. But the crab slices you.
Told you.
Wouldn't the crab pinch him?
No. Sliced by a crab.
Alright, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Crab slice.
So, yeah, Meyer, you can give me one of your chi, or you take it out. Yeah, that's fine. Because I'm giving it back at the end of this anyway. the guy dressed as an octopus... rears back, and he's got this what looks like a sort of growth on his neck, sort of like an ink sac. He looks like he's about to spit ink in your face. And the crab guy reaches out with one of his claws and sort of grabs you by the throat.
Like I'm a sandwich, like I'm both sides of you, right?
Well, one of the guys is the. You teleported in between the guy dressed as a shark and the guy dressed as a crab. The shark guy fell out of the helicopter. The octopus man was... The guy dressed as an octopus was in the front passenger seat, and there's a pilot who's just terrified out of his mind because his helicopter was commandeered.
The pilot dressed as a pilot fish.
He's dressed
like
a pilot fish.
Is that the one with the light on his face?
He's got the little thing dangling down. And he's got all sorts of horrible teeth pointed in different directions.
So mad, I was just about to say that.
He's obviously a hostage because they tied him up. They just force him to wear the pilot fish out.
So, Meyer, what's your next course of action?
It's an ill-fitting pilot fish outfit.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna teleport slightly so the spit goes right into the crab's face, the ink.
Okay.
And then I'm going to cut off as the crab's incapacitated. I'm gonna cut off his crab arm.
Okay. So that's two dice.
All right.
Can split them however you want.
That one success for each.
All right. So you don't get hit by the ink. Mm-hmm. You basically grab onto the crab man, and when you teleport, you reverse your position, so you're facing the opposite way. He takes the ink. To the face, and you rip his arm off. Another scene that has involved someone getting a limb torn off.
Oh, he's got an arm off!
Crab legs.
I get the crab man falls backwards, and he also falls out of the helicopter. blindly grabbing it.
And slicing.
slicing at the air. You look down briefly, and you can see the giant fake whale that was stolen from the museum. Tied.
Was it a fake whale?
Was it a fake whale?
I thought it was a real whale.
It's a museum.
Taxidermy whale.
Okay. I picture it's like the blue whale at the museum.
Right.
Of Natural.
It's a real whale, but it's taxidermy. Just like trailing behind the helicopter from a chain. Meyer, you're holding a crab arm. And there's an octopus man who looks like he's going to try to take another shot at you.
Well, I have this crab arm. So, as he starts trying to, you know, whip me with his... Well, he has just, you know, he's a person, but he has... Like four arms attached to his arm, so you know, because he's an octopus.
Right.
So he's kind of using it as whips, I think.
Okay, so he's trying to whip you with his tentacle arms.
Yep. And so I parry a couple with his
with the crab leg
round arm, and then I'm going to what's the stab at him?
Jab
him.
Lunge. Thrust.
Lunge. Yeah, lunge.
He's pretty spry for 102.
Yeah.
Keeps in shape.
Yeah.
Whatever.
However, as I do that, because he thinks I'm going to be with fire, but I'm teleport behind. As
you can do
like,
it too if you just
like,
watched him.
That, and then I teleport behind him.
In fact.
And stab him from behind.
Alright, so that's three dice.
That's none. That's 6-5-5. That was
none for both of them.
Yep.
All right, so Meyer, you're gonna have to give up another chi. Meyer, here's what happens.
Okay.
before you teleport, you're whipping around with the crab arm to parry his whips. But you're 102 years old, not in the shape you used to be in, so you get caught by a couple of them, and when you teleport, it sort of throws off your aim. So yeah, now you are actually clinging to the front of the helicopter.
Oh man.
With a crab arm. So you've got your feet on the skids of the helicopter, and you're clinging onto the windscreen. The pilot fish is looking at you really confused and terrified.
Meyer, you should hurl the arm into the blades and then just teleport back down.
What?
Take the crab arm, hurl it into the helicopter blades, and then just teleport down to your wife and have tea with her.
Sounds like a plan to me.
As the helicopters catches blades and smokes in the background.
Alright. Oh wait. Alright. Oh, okay. We got two to attack, but none to semi-defend.
Alright. So that takes out the threat. Meyer, you throw the crab arm up into the swimming blades of the helicopter. The pilot fish promptly loses control and starts careening towards the ground. You teleport away, and you teleport back to your wife. But this has just been too much excitement for you, so they have to call the paramedics, and they take you to the hospital and put you on oxygen.
Been there.
Your wife.
You teleported off of the helicopter too?
No, the oxygen part. Oh.
Your wife is standing there. She is also a spry old lady. Somebody call an ambulance! As you see a massive explosion as the helicopter crashes into the city.
Killing.
That's been an emergency. My husband is wounded.
Killing
four people and showering a block and a half with taxidermy whale.
That was the pilot fish.
I'll say the pilot fish got away. The Atlantis force has to come back.
Right.
Last
force.
But certainly not least, we have Chris.
I mean, the crab and the shark did fall into water, so they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swim. Octopus could have survived.
The thing I'm having the most fun with in my head is the cinematic freeze frame on every character and their name underneath.
So you have.
I'll tell you where the cinematic freeze frame goes in mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Short about 3,000, and then you know. Rolodex, and then Alex's
storms.
The point anger because the
thing. Eric is.
Right.
And
all these visual aids are great for this.
People at home are getting it. It's fine.
That's all right. I didn't see them either because of your giant fat head, Eric.
Hey, I like my head.
Hey, for those of you who don't realize, Eric has a fat head.
Fat head Eric.
Fat hairy head.
All right, Chris.
In fact, that should be his new internet name. People start referring to him as Fat Head Eric on the internet.
I've always preferred Eric Five Chin Stick Ash myself. Okay, so
Neon.
Neon
only has four. I'm kidding.
I don't count as a chain.
What?
Alright, let's go.
Yeah, let's get Chris to see the
right. So I guess.
Gee, oh, thanks, that's nice.
Come on, Chris, you need to get this shit over with.
Hold on, let me delay more. Okay, so Neon, I guess, Neon Upduck is walking down the street when there's suddenly a huge. Storm, rain, and helicopters falling from the sky. So he bangs into the local pub for a beer, sits down, and he's, you know, drinking his beer, and all of a sudden a gang filled with people with strange and novel, different sets of novelty glasses. Waving guns everywhere. Everyone get out! This is our bar now, you motherfuckers! Just leave your money and get out! And the one or two other people in the bar.
Google, get the register!
Terrified. Neon just.
X-ray, grab the Johnny Walker!
X-ray.
The leader must be Groucho.
Yes. Sure, no, I'm out of Groucho!
The one guy's got the glasses, the hologram, you can't tell his eyes are open or closed.
Alright, so one of the other patrons throws his wallet, runs out the door crying, the other one just kind of falls down to the floor. Upset. Crying,
upset.
I guess. You know, not overwhelmed situation.
Will you shut those people up, oversized?
But Neon is just sitting there in his three-piece suit. He stands up slowly, unbuttons his buttons, takes off his tie and his dress shirt and his pants, and he's standing there now with just his Speedo. From nowhere, he pulls out a spear.
Okay.
He looks at the guy he decides is the leader.
Groucho.
And without saying a word, he just thrusts his spear into his stomach. Now, let me explain the spear before I go any further. It's a hollow tube with holes drilled all down the side of it. And the point doesn't quite come to a point, but razor sharp, but it's a hole.
Okay.
So when he stabs the guy,
you're like
and then,
tapping him like a tree?
Yes.
Okay.
He lifts him up above his head, and the blood drains down into the spear and rains down on top of him. And while he's doing this, he's chanting in whatever the fuck language he's speaking.
Some kind of Amazonian native.
Right. And,
all right, that's good for five dice, Chris.
Oh, I was going to have him burst on fire. Burst into flames. Because he's doing blood magic.
Six, if you want.
Six?
Blood magic.
All right. I'll do four attack and two defense. And it's got to be under, right?
Yeah.
At or under.
At or under. So, under five.
I know blood magic.
That's all of them succeeded.
All right.
What are all the names of these guys? I'm going to write them all down.
Chris just handily ended that.
There was Groucho.
Groucho.
There was Googly.
Googly. Okay, we're Googling. Googly.
Googly. 3D,
X-ray.
3D, X-ray.
Oversized.
Don't forget stripes.
I imagine that Oversized gets really pissed when people refer to him as Elton John.
Is there Bono?
Of...
Oh, there should be monocle too.
they just call him Mono.
Monocle's the big boss. Yeah. He doesn't come in here. Hey, what's going on in that, gentlemen?
Yeah. All right, so Chris,
it's Mr. Monocle.
Yes.
Chris, no, you do this. You stab Groucho, and
there's my
and
fridge
the
frame, by the way.
you stab him like an umbrella, causing his blood and gore to rain down on you.
Kalima!
While you're chanting and wearing nothing but a fucking Speedo. Googly, who is raiding the register, just sort of drops all of the money that he was holding.
His eyes hang limply in palm.
X-Ray, who is grabbing the Johnny Walker, just sort of lets it drop from his hands, and it shatters on the floor, spilling expensive scotch everywhere.
Now, Chris had also set the guy on fire. There maybe a spark coming from the fire.
Which guy did you set on fire?
The one I stabbed.
What?
Okay, oh.
Funny. He's gonna hoist him up, his blood's gonna run down on me, and that's the blood magic.
Alright, so this is the coup de grace of this scene. Everybody in the place is just staring at you, and then the body bursts into flames, and everyone in the fucking bar just bolts. The gang members, the patrons, the bartender, everybody just runs out of the place screaming. And you stand there with a flaming, holding a flaming body raining blood over your head, chanting in some kind of South American tongue.
Oh, God.
And that's where your freeze frame is.
Okay.
That was worth the wait.
Glad we got that over with.
Yeah.
Me and Chris make two.
This just ended in one action.
Then the music starts.
No way, squad.
East Coast.
All right, so you guys are coming together as a group for the first time.
I'm just fucking looking at the picture of my character, and he looks more like the man in the yellow hat from the Curious George.
You're right. He does look like the man in the big yellow hat, but his hat is too small.
That's even better.
All right.
He's the man in the small yellow hat.
All right, so you guys have all achieve some degree of notoriety.
His monkey is mind your own business, George.
Mind your own business, Frank.
You're right.
You guys have all achieved some degree of notoriety for your exploits, fighting crime and sometimes preventing it without killing innocent people.
I killed 4 people already.
Look, that's not me.
Good job, God.
Now we have to pay for that licensing.
Was there enough time on that?
I ruined it. Let's just start over.
Oh man,
we'll have to replace that ringtone with a Creative Commons song.
I think we'll be
a public domain song.
Scott, can you get me some? What?
Did you just ignore a call from your mom?
Yes.
Wait, your mom's ringtone is fuck you?
She likes that song.
Does she like the radio edit of it?
No, she likes that song.
So anyway.
Alright. You've all received invitations to become part of the first East Coast branch of
the franchise
of the No Way Squad. So you all are given an address and a date and a time, and you show up, and in between a Korean grocery store and a cigar shop in a strip mall, you see a storefront that says, No Way Squad, crimes prevented, days saved.
Both are at zero right now?
Yes.
I'm assuming
as well as days without accidents.
I'm assuming that they're asking me there to perform, so I'm going to put on a tuxedo.
Okay.
I'm going to put on a monstrous sized tuxedo.
There is actually a dry cleaners where you can rent a tuxedo in the strip mall.
Is it actually a car wash?
Yeah. All right.
It's just a repurposed car tarp.
So you guys all congregate in front in the parking lot in front of the strip mall. You see a giant robot wearing a black tie and a tarp draped over.
I don't walk out there when I emerge from a bush.
Okay.
Well, I took the bus. I don't drive anymore. My old age.
You could teleport.
I took the bus.
All right, fucking Boston Transit bus pulls up. And
you teleport out of it.
There was a flash as an old man disappears from the handicap section of the bus and reappears with his hover round on the sidewalk in front of the strip mall.
Would it be too weird if I flew up on a giant duck?
No, I'll let you get away with that.
Then I'll fly up on a giant duck.
Wait, where'd you get the giant duck?
In character?
Yeah.
I breed them in the Amazon.
Hey, what's a duck's favorite snack food?
I don't know.
Take my wife, please.
Ducks prefer to eat insects. I don't get this humor.
There's a display of fresh bread out front of the Korean grocery store, and the giant duck just starts plodding toward it, menacing the poor little Korean grocer who is trying to shoo off this giant duck with a broom.
I'm not doing anything about that.
All right, the two of them are going to have at that. That's going to play out
in the background.
While this is going on, I arrive on one of those motorized razor scooters.
Okay. So you guys hear the approaching sound of a moped.
Nice scooter.
I like to arrive last, stepping out of the bush.
Okay.
Oh, fine, be that way.
There is a small hedge that borders the parking lot where the strip mall is located. And a man who looks surprisingly like the man in the yellow hat, the big yellow hat from Jerry and George, steps out from between the shrubbery.
I'm sure I'm armed.
I would imagine you have a gun strapped to every possible place that you have a gun strapped to.
Just on either cheek.
On both sides of my goatee.
I start walking. I forget why I'm here. I'm going to start walking to the grocery store.
The grocer would help you. She is fighting off a giant duck who is now trying to devour her baby.
I'm
going
to try to remember what my wife said to get at the grocery. My wife told me to get.
I'm assuming your wife's name is Petunia?
No, it's actually Beatrice. Oh. Penelope Petunia.
It's a good name for an old lady, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meyer, you fumble around in your pockets, and you find a post-it note that says, "No Way Squad, Alta Vista Shopping Center," with an address and a time on it.
I feel like under it says eggs.
Excuse me, gentlemen, can you tell me where the No Way Squad headquarters are? I'm to perform there.
No, right over there.
Excellent! I'm going to clomp off and then...
I'll get the door. And I hold the door open for a moment.
Why, thank you, kind sir.
No problem.
I will also go in.
I keep holding the door open.
And as you try to wedge yourself through the door, it sparks. just from the metal grating against it. The metal door frame grating against your shoulders.
I hold the door open for everyone. So nice.
You guys go in, and it is a. It almost looks like a car rental place. there's a woman sitting behind a desk, sort of leafing through a novel. There are a couple of chairs. Looks like a waiting area, a fake potted plant, and
hey, don't steal my fake potted plant idea.
I'm gonna try to sit in one of the chairs.
Ed, the metal literally groans and just the chair bends down into itself.
I'm gonna walk up to the receptionist. I'm like, oh, I am Dr. Walter Octavian Augustus Jones X, and I'm here to because I was told to be here.
I found
this note in my pocket.
I'm here because I don't really know.
There's a little placard on her desk that says, "Hello, my name is Mindy. How may I help you today?" And she doesn't even look up. She goes, "Mr. XP, I'll see you soon."
Mr. what?
Mr. XP.
All right. Well, I'm going to go sit down and start doing, like, I have a puzzle book, so I'm going to start.
I'm hiding in the potted plant, the fake potted plant.
It was a tiring ride over here, so I'm just leaning up against the wall.
There's a table with a whole bunch of back issues of Golf Digest spread out.
Neon's going to read Golf Digest.
Yeah, so am I.
All right. So just as the two of you sit down and get comfortable, Mindy looks up and says, "You can go on in now."
But he didn't buzz you.
She's talking to me?
I believe she's talking to all of us.
Then Neon will go.
Off at the door, then.
Thank you, young lady.
I woke up and get the door.
I must be on.
I hope you're all ready to laugh your pants off.
I'm going after them, still carrying the fake pilot plant with me for cover.
I flash one of my trademark smiles at whatever her name was behind the desk.
Mindy.
And walk in.
All right, so...
As I'm passing her, I just want to pop my head out of the plant at her.
For
nice boobs. Mindy.
Nice boobs.
Oh.
I'm awkward.
Yeah, you are.
All right, boom.
Speaking of awkward, how about that silence?
She looks up and goes,
"Oh, I know, aren't they?"
She's chipped.
And then four people, a giant robot, and a potted plant.
That's one of his jokes. Four people, a giant robot, and a potted plant walk into a bar. That's what she's having.
So I hold the door for everyone again.
All right. Again, Ed wedges himself into the door. There is a man seated behind a large desk. In a very small office.
I'm kind of picturing Saul Goodman's office. Without the colonnade and the Declaration of Independence plastered on the wall.
Yeah.
Are you the man my agent told me about?
Well, that depends.
Are you a 9-foot robot? Name him.
The name is... He's late 40s.
Can we have the same agent?
Sure. Yes. He's got like a little graying goatee. His hair is slicked back, and he goes, "The name is Jonathan Expey. I'm the head of the Boston franchise in the No Way Squad, and I understand that you all are the heroes about town."
Well, I don't know about that.
Neon is television show host.
"And I just like making people laugh. How's this one on for size? Your mama's so fat, every time she wears red, it's her birthday."
I'll thank you not to pick on my mother. The doctor laughs at your joke. He chuckles.
"Well, you've all certainly made the headlines." He takes out a few Boston Globe front pages. One of them says, "Good Samaritan saves Starbucks." One of them says, "Last comic standing ends in fiasco and death." One of of them says local street toughs turn themselves over to police.
What's this random hurricane? It's downtown.
Mysterious
hurricane hits downtown Boston.
Mysterious gale decimates South. One of them says helicopter crashes, and the other one says bar heist stopped.
Oh, can mine just be a picture of me right in the throat of a goat? Local man brings kitten back to life.
Yes.
That's the scene.
Local television host brings kitten back to life. Thousands horrified.
They show a kitten covered in blood, but alive.
Anyway.
This kitten is 10 times bloodier, but also 10 times more alive than it was.
It also might have the soul of a demon.
We'll find out.
If he tries to eat you, I'd kill him again.
And don't make any deals with the kitten.
Also, if he scratches you, your soul may be tainted.
So get them declawed.
Anyways, folks, you've all been in the papers, and I just want to say that that caught my attention. And I could use a team just like you.
You have dead kitten?
Well, I was thinking you all become part of the Boston No Way Squad.
What do we do?
Fight crime, save the day. You go where other people refuse to go. Any situation that's too dangerous for those others, that's where you are.
Does this have anything to do with the guns mounted on my shoulders?
Sounds like what Neon already does on his television show.
You know, Sensei Roker always used to tell me to never back down from a hurricane, both figurative and literal. So I think I might be down for this. I'm also Rod Sterling.
I like to check out the guns on Ed's shoulder and see, think to myself if I could recreate them later.
Just dangerous stuff. I mean, is it taxing? Is it hard work?
Of course it is.
Oh. I'll think about that.
But just remember, you'll be part of a team. So other people will also have to do hard work.
Oh. That's a selling point.
Well, someone's a robot that does my half of the hard work. I got nothing to worry about.
Are you willing to do his half of the hard work?
Seeing as that I don't need rest and don't feel fatigue, sure.
Don't feel fatigue or emotions.
Rusty Buckshot's last partner ended up with his brain splattered all over his living room.
Why? What did he do? Fall onto a lawnmower?
How did you know?
Yup.
Yeah, actually he did.
That's the story I tell him.
Well, I can't lie, I have been wanting to get back into the public eye.
Oh, I've seen you before.
Yeah, Storm Stormson, iWeather News.
Yeah, you came out for Wheel of Fortune.
After Wheel of Fortune, actually.
Oh.
Oh. I was on that show once. I broke the wheel.
I remember that. Cindy had to do a piece on you.
Well, I'm in. High five, everyone.
Does this job... I have to be... In order to take this job, I need to be sure to be home by 5 o'clock every day to have my beautiful wife, Beatrice's dinner.
4:30 on Friday, so you can catch the early bird.
Oh, yeah. 4:30 on Friday to catch the early bird.
I'm sure we can work around that. It's 12:45 now, so you still have 4 hours and 15 minutes to fight crime.
I'm in. Neon Upduck has release forms. Will you all sign release forms?
What are these for?
Neon Upduck is followed around often by television crew.
I'm considered city property, and I don't need to sign anything.
Oh, God. I came so close to spitting everywhere.
Alex almost criticizes that with iced tea.
Nothing better.
What is it, neti pot?
Let me see those forms. Neon.
Standard television, you know, release forms.
I'll send these over to legal, but I don't think that we should have any problems with these. He rolls them up and takes a small cylinder, packs them in, and puts them into sort of a pneumatic tube behind him, and then disappears into the ground. It just sucks it down.
So, did you have any crime in mind for us to fight?
Well, unfortunately, before I can make you full-fledged members of the group, franchise regulations state that you all have to go on an audition mission.
Or an odd mission.
An odd mission. I like the way you think.
So do I.
We could use a guy like you at our marketing department. Anyhow,
your boss would be
Slick Wilson. We have to
submit Wilkins.
We have to submit footage of you all solving some crimes or helping some innocent civilians back to the head office in L.A., where they will be reviewed by three of the founding members of the No Way Squad. Now, your crime solving or day saving will be judged on style, effectiveness, and heroism. By three members, Brian Wong, The Brain, and Zhao.
I don't know who those are.
Will there be a talent portion of the competition?
I'd say that probably goes into style if you spin it the right way.
Excellent. I have some jokes that will slay them all.
That was the first good one.
I have a question. Am I getting home by 5? Because I have to make sure that I go to dinner with my beautiful wife Beatrice, at 4:30, because we want to catch the early bird. It's Friday.
You know what? I see where this is going. He takes a pad of post-it notes out of his desk and just writes, "You'll be home by 5." Takes it out and hands it to me.
That's been my pocket.
You have a little day planner that's just full of post-it notes.
I'm going to be home by 5.
Dr. Short-Term Memory.
Hello, I'm Dr. He forgets what he's saying halfway through his name.
All right, so I'll just need you to sign these liability waivers, and he takes out,
giant
contracts and distributes them to all of you.
Sure, about repeats. I am technically city property, and therefore do not have to sign anything.
All right.
I'm going to place the paper on it, take out a gun, and shoot the letter.
You and Mitchell with the...
I need to briefly interrupt you. I started making you a present, but it's not done yet.
Oh.
Since your wallet was breaking.
Cool, thank you.
I found Super Mario Brothers tape, so
I like the tape. Look at my tape wallet.
It's not
fantastic.
Cool.
Nice. I don't have a tape wallet.
But the audience does not know that.
Ryan's girlfriend made him a tape wallet.
And the other...
It's blue.
And it has Super Mario on it.
Okay. Upstairs. It's
very nice.
Okay. It's made of tape.
Oh, God, it's kissed.
There we go.
Oh, right.
Now, Ed and Ryan kissed.
Oh, God. And they did.
Ed and Ryan kissed.
That was okay.
So you guys all... Now,
and they said we're homophobic.
We've now jumped a shark.
We're breaking ground here, guys, because we had our first on-air kiss between me and Allie.
Right.
And then we had our first on-air same-sex kiss.
That's true.
Both in the same episode within the same 30 seconds of each other.
Wow.
That'll never happen again.
You have a hard time believing that was your first on-air same-sex kiss.
That was. We're definitely groundbreakers here, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've kissed Will on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I can't imagine.
What part of the body is the podcast?
Have we done an interracial kiss yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Are we
going
to find a friend in different race?
I'm technically Middle Eastern, but all right, I don't
want to
kiss you guys.
So after you guys
no
sign the contract,
kiss you either, right?
He takes out three helmet cams.
Oh, Neon signed his in blood.
Okay. And when I say helmet cams, I don't mean like hats with camera lenses hidden in them. I mean, like, legitimate, like, construction hard hats with cameras, you know, like camcorders mounted on them.
How does he find one big enough to fit me?
He has three.
He has three of them. You guys can decide amongst yourselves who gets to wear them.
I'm sorry, but I can't wear that. It might damage my patented hair.
Neon has no hair. Give helmet.
That thing's going
I can't
on.
Wear that because my head is the size of a Buick.
I have this notice that I have to be home by 5. Do I have your promise that I will be home by 5?
No, it doesn't say that you have to be home by 5. It says that you will be home by 5.
Right, that could be taken as a command. You will be home by 5. His wife wrote him a note. You
well,
will
no,
be
it's
home
not
by
his wife's handwriting.
Yeah,
I remember my wife's
I'll how about this? I'll
that would be
I'll
a long term
thing.
Short term thing.
Here, let me see that. He takes the note back and writes, "Don't worry" on top of it. Allie, are you all right?
There's a cricket. The cricket downstairs.
Okay, the cricket.
So yes, the answer is yes.
She may be afraid of crickets, but other than that, she's okay. Unless it is a 7-foot tall cricket, and then
Did you kill the cricket?
No. No one gives a shit about the cricket. Let's keep going.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, everybody. I was apparently deathly afraid of crickets.
I hardly think that a squeak indicates she's deathly afraid.
Give me one of those cams. I don't like being on camera.
All right. So you get a camera. Who gets number 3?
I've been watching so much TV. We got to make some for once. I'll do it.
All right. So here's the way this is going to work. You guys have to impress Brian Wong, the Brain, and Zhao with the footage that you shoot. And I'll turn it over to the
I'm
three people
again.
Crickets.
Apparently she's battling that cricket down there. There's an epic battle between my fiance and a cricket happening.
You just go down there, she's got a broadsword.
And the cricket is fucking 8 feet long.
Maybe we should have done something about this.
Maybe we understated the critic. The cricket. The
critic?
Yep.
It's the cricket.
It stinks!
Alright, so I'll turn that over. So Ed, Meyer, and Chris, at the end of this game, you three will be asked to adjudicate in character the stuff that these guys shoot.
Has the brain!
No.
And
why doesn't Festus get the judge?
Somehow I think Zhao is going to shoot the TV. Him and Lilibell are in Vegas getting married.
All right. So at this point, Mindy comes in and she's chewing gum and she says, "Mr. Axby, we have a call. Apparently, somebody named the Rotato."
The Rotato. Okay.
Somebody named the Rotato was causing a disturbance in Cambridge.
It's gonna be like a potato or some sort of rotating thing.
That sounds like a job for the.
Excuse me, sir.
What's the name of our team again?
Hammer on your head.
The No Way Squad.
The No Way Squad.
Yeah, East Coast.
East Coast.
Auditioning to join the No Way Squad.
All right, so you guys.
Squad?
You guys,
I'm not quite sure.
You guys have your first mission.
Neon is not quite sure.
Alex is using the bathroom.
You can go.
All right.
Is there a cricket in there, Alex?
Mr. XB hands you a set of car keys and tells you that the No Way Squad... temporary interim automobile is parked out front. Okay. You guys go out and you find a 1989 Mercury Sable.
Nice.
I'm not going to fit in that, so I'm just going to follow them behind in my meat.
What's going on with my duck?
The duck has eaten all of the Korean grocer's bread.
Okay.
And has now moved on to menacing the cigar store owner.
Huh. I didn't know he liked cigars. Actually, hold on, I'll say that in character. I did not know he liked cigars.
I will not fit in that vehicle.
Huge difference.
I will follow behind, and then I'm going to transform into a...
Okay, so your feet transmorph into wheels, and you hitch yourself to the back of the Merc.
You can do that?
Yes.
Fabulous. Now I can do that.
I can't do that.
I don't know. You saw it.
No, yeah, no. It has to be...
Just be careful. You haven't seen him turn back yet.
It has to be natural, a natural thing. I can't very well...
Look pretty natural.
I can't talk to animals. This is how you do it. So. I can't teleport like the creepy old guy over there.
I call a shotgun.
Dominion over it.
I call shotgun. I'll drive then.
I call this shotgun.
I'm going to ride my duck.
All right, so you guys are in the back.
Yeah, man.
You're in the back with the old man.
That's right. With my camera on my hat.
All right, so... A native riding a giant duck, trailing a 1989 Mercury Sable with a giant comedy robot through the back of it.
I make sure everyone wears their seatbelt.
Who's up for a road song? 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. You take one down, you pass it around. 98 bottles of beer on my roll.
You keep saying 99.
Yes. Who's up for a song? 4i equals 0, I plus equals 1, I plus plus, 99 bottles of beer on the wall. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it'd be I equals 100.
You're saying code?
I... Less than
apparently
greater than 100.
It's just minus.
I bottles of beer on the wall. I bottles of beer. Take one down. Pass it around. I minus one bottles of beer on the wall.
Is it a regular number of bottles of beer on the wall?
No, I
is invariable.
Invariable, right?
It stands for index.
All right.
And take one down, pass it around, bump. Error.
Yeah, I just keep like playing like five, one down, and pass it around. No,
take one down, divided by 0.
All right. So you all arrive.
All of a sudden, his eyes go glazed over the blue screen of death.
Reboot.
You all arrive in Cambridge. You can tell that there's something going on because. You see a police barricade set off a couple of blocks. There seem to be a whole bunch of people dressed in skin-tight purple jumpsuits, wielding chains, bats, bricks.
I teleport to them.
All kinds of... well, hang on a second. Let me finish my description before we start. All kinds of improvised weapons. They seem to be keeping whoever's trapped in this area kettled in. The cops have set up a barricade so that nobody goes in. And there is a little bit further, a couple blocks down, you can see a bunch of trees that have been stripped of their branches and sharpened like pencils. cars that are just... sparkly, like they're polished steel, like the paint was just stripped off them and it was, they were all buffed to a high gloss, basically. And you can see something blurry flitting around down the street.
Something furry?
Blurry.
Or blurry.
Blurry.
I'm going to walk over to one of the police officers. Hi there, officer. What seems to be the trouble here?
The Rotato again. He does this every once in a while. Likes to stir up trouble.
And what exactly does the Rotato do?
Well, he's this weird guy who has super speed powers and blade arms. They call him the Rotato because he peels things.
Interesting.
I teleport into the barrier. Oh, past the barrier.
Alright, you know, we're not in combat, so why the hell not? You appear in front of a line of people in skin-tight purple jumpsuits. You notice that they're all exactly the same. They look like early middle-aged men. They look like they could be, you know, genetically identical.
Hello, good sirs. Hi, Dr. Walter. Octavian Augustus Jones III?
The tenth.
Tenth.
So he forgets by the time he gets to the end of his name.
What seems to be the problem?
They say in unison, "Sir, please step back."
Hi, I'm Dr. Walter. Augustus Jones the Tenth. What's seizing the problem here?
The doctor appears to be engaging those purple men. Shall we approach them?
Officers, mind if we take a walk over there? We're the No Way Squad, East Coast.
Mr. XP has given you all interim badges.
I was going to say, take interim badges.
Yes. Yeah. They're like the printed cards from the DMV where you actually get your license in the mail.
With a little like crappy silkscreen picture of dot matrix printed picture of ourselves.
Yes.
In the
so you know what, Ryan, what I would do? I'm going to actually teleport, and I teleport, and when I step back, I'm in front of them, but I bump into them, and I go, oh, hello.
I'm going to take each of them in a hand, put them at my feet, then take the other two and just launch myself up in the air with my rocket feet, and then land next to Meyer.
I'm going to scream out as Ed suddenly grabs me and lifts into the air.
All right, so Ed, that's your, let's see, what relevant skill would that be? Boomski, find things made of meat, or crushify? You know what, I'll let you go with Boomski, just because it involves you, you know, using your rocket appendages.
I'm not getting attacked, so I don't
yeah, you get,
right.
That's, what you do is you roll whatever your Boomski value is, and tell me what your highest number
is.
No, because he has the...
I rolled all fives.
Okay, a good success. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, right.
So, in that case, you grab... Who are you grabbing? You're grabbing...
I'm going to grab Alex and I'm going to grab Stormy and Rolo and put them on my feet. And then I'm going to grab
Rusty
and
Neon.
And Neon in my hands. And then just rocket launch myself to Meyer.
Do any of those purple guys look like they're threatening Meyer?
They've all got like improvised weapons. It looks like they're getting closer to him. What happened?
I'm taking a shot at one of them. They're throwing a teammate.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Approaching with weapons.
So that's one die because you get one detail there.
Oh, I forgot about details.
Yeah.
Fat.
Fat.
Well, think of a way to make it exciting in action movie. Like, you know, you're hanging by a giant robot that's rocketing through the air when you reach behind you for your fucking 12-gauge, pump it with one hand, aim and...
You should have one of those... One of those rifles, you know, with the nice. Action is, like, down, you know what I mean? The Terminator has, and you would like, cock it and spin it around. You could do that.
Okay.
Okay, so you got
If I remembered we were doing descriptions, I probably would have done it. All right.
Well, yeah. No.
So what do you do?
The rifles that get the, like...
All right, so, yeah. I'm in the grasp of this robot here.
Uh-huh.
And when I spot these purple people approaching my teammate with weapons. Not wanting my teammate to be injured, I whip out my gun, quickly pump it, take aim at the closest one with the deadliest looking weapon and try to nail him right in the heart.
Alright, so that's four.
He went from one to four very quickly.
Yeah. And
two successes in attack, one in defense.
Okay, so you do not get injured at all. Let's see, how many threats? These guys have quite a lot of threat because there are seven of you.
Fair enough.
I took the Zhao roll.
Alright, sorry, six. I keep thinking James is interesting.
Who cares about the plot? Shoot! Alright,
so what did you roll there?
Two successes for attack, one for defense.
Okay, so you don't get injured, and two of their threat goes away. Meyer, you bump into one of them.
Yes.
And turn around as his heart explodes out of the front of his chest, showering you with gore.
I'm gonna
as you smile and say, Oh, can I help you?
And I'm going to put my handkerchief and start wiping with the blood.
All right, Ryan. As we're flying through the air.
At this point, these guys are going to start to, you know, they notice that the robot is coming this way.
Really? How did they notice that?
They noticed the giant robot
Ryan,
flying
rolled
through
the
air. Yeah. And their friend.
I rolled a six.
You rolled a six? All right, in that case, they don't fucking notice. They're all just looking around. What's going on?
All right, so, Ryan, as we're flying through the air, the wind whips in my face, yet my hair does not move at all. I see that the guys in purple are now getting serious. So I start muttering to myself in the ancient language that Sensei Roker taught me. And the sky once again grows dark with massive pendulous clouds. Lightning starts flashing with thunder. And all of a sudden, bolts of lightning start striking the ground all over the neighborhood. Aiming specifically for some of these purple people and other stuff.
Okay.
Aiming specifically for the purple people and
and aiming for other things, not so specifically.
I should point out, too, there's
school.
Also, they seem to be trying to keep people kettled in this one area, so there's a crowd of tourists and shoppers and college students just sort of milling
around. Right. So I'm not trying to hit them, but sometimes it's really hard to predict the weather.
Okay.
That's my general reason whenever I accidentally kill someone.
So that's three?
Wind flying through my hair, dark pendulous clouds, lightning striking.
Lightning striking, yes, three.
Do I need to make defense rolls now, because we're all in combat?
Yeah.
All right.
It's easy to turn on, that's all.
So I'll do two attack, one defense.
You already know.
One and one.
One and one. All right, so you don't get hit by anything, lightning or the rotatoes, flying metals.
He's around here too?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's the
right.
Blurry thing that's...
Yeah, there's gotcha.
He's like the Tasmanian devil almost. Like I said, he's the Flash with blade arms, and he uses his super speed to peel things.
Okay.
Your lightning strikes into the line of purple people, setting one of them on fire. He falls down. Now they notice.
Now they notice us.
The giant robot. Ed rolled a six on that, so his jet rocket feet were pretty damn silent.
Wait, wouldn't six be bad?
Yeah. No, six is
for combat stuff.
For a stab roll, because it was just a sneak check. Six is the best you can do.
Wait, is to roll a six or?
It wasn't a combat check,
right?
Like,
that I got. I thought there was like six successes. Ed rolled a six.
Scab rolls are
no, no,
a
no.
really quick thing. You roll
one
die.
Yeah, scab rolls. Every once in a while you might roll for something without making a big production. You make a scab roll. Just grab a number of dice equal to your relevant trait. He rolled one die. And take the highest roll and compare it to the scab.
Oh, okay,
and
gotcha.
Six is a solid professional success. Good work.
Okay. Gotcha.
So in that case, he passed with flying colors.
Even though I only have one
sneeze.
Yeah. So the way combat works is pretty much anytime somebody wants to add a detail or, you know, make a roll, you do it. There's no order. There's no initiative. Here are the combatants. I'll just outline. There's still a whole shitload of clones in purple jumpsuits that seem to be lining the perimeter of the area that you can attack. There is the Rotato himself, who you can directly challenge. And a little way down the block, you can see that there's an apartment building that's on fire.
Is that me?
No, that wasn't
okay,
you.
Good. I feel bad.
It's a duck.
So, I kind of designed this fight so that everybody could split their focus and go after different things. And like I said, this is just sort of like complete action movie craziness. So, pretty much, you say what you're going to do, and the only person who really gets a response is the Rotato, because he's a nemesis.
Okay,
Alright, so in that case, I'm going to shout into a group of the clones. What do you get when you mix a clone with an ice cream cone? I'm shooting you now! And then I'm going to unload my chain gun.
What do you get when you mix a clone with an ice cream cone? An 88mm mortar round!
It doesn't matter, you're dead!
And then I'm going to shoot them. I'm going to raise the chain gun from my shoulder and just begin pelting this group with my, like, full auto.
Okay. Indiscriminately?
Yeah, indiscriminately.
That's three, Ed.
Okay.
With your boomski, I would say.
Yeah.
And you can attack and defend.
I'll defend, attack.
Okay.
I did not hit, but I did not get hit.
All right, so the clones scatter out of the way.
You found a way to miss every clone.
Gives you pepper the street with...
You're probably warned by your children.
Yeah, they scattered pretty damn quickly.
So I hear the guns, I'm confused, and I don't know where it's coming from. I look behind me, and I see the fire. Fire! So I'm going to teleport to the burning place, and... I teleport in front of
hydrant?
No, a
phone booth.
I pull out my coin purse. I put a couple coins in. I call 911. Say there's a fire, and I give the address.
The police are already there. I think they know.
I call them anyway.
Because you don't remember they're there.
I hang up. I probably hear a scream. So I teleport into the burning wreckage.
Well, it's not quite wreckage yet. The building is on fire. You see almost comically, but, you know... Obviously not, because they're trapped in a burning building. There's a family that's trapped in the third floor.
It's pretty funny, but, you know, it's not, really.
I was going to laugh. In fact.
And there's a dog in one of the windows that's barking. Aww. So there are people in this building.
Aww. I'm going to...
The way the fire is going to work, it's going to be like a threat too. So it's got a threat level of 10. If you want to fight the fire itself, you can attack the fire using your details. If you don't defend against the fire, it can hurt you. But you can also instead of doing an attack roll, you can substitute to rescue people from
that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
You're a doctor.
I am a doctor. I'm just going to be rescuing. So I'm going to take it by a room by room. How many? Well, I'm going to. I teleport to like a lobby of the thing. How many rooms are there in this hotel?
It's an apartment house. So we'll say there are four floors, five apartments on each floor.
All right. Well, then I'm going to. So I'm going to go numerically. So I'm going to kill one and rescue people.
Remember, Meyer, the way rules
work
is
you have to
add details.
Okay.
Like an action movie, so...
All right, well, I am a doctor, and I don't want to see any people die, and so I'm going to take this... Well, I'm going to actually... It's hard for people to get out.
Do you want it to hurt me, Kevin?
The fire spreads up. It's hard for people to get up and down. What would be better?
You should just teleport them to the roof away from the fire and then teleport away. They save.
Why just teleport them to the street?
Well, because that would actually save them.
I'm a doctor, though. I'm going to save them.
Do you want
bring them to the roof and treat them for
smoke
inhalation?
Well, I'm just saying, what would we... I'm just thinking, what would be better to save people? Start saving people from the top or from the bottom?
Well, where's the fire?
I thought you said there was only one family in there, right?
There's a that you can see.
Oh.
They're
I was going to say that would have made it easier for where to start.
The fire escape has fallen down from the front of the building. So
it escaped the fire.
Yes, it did. Yes,
so I'll go for the top first, then. So I'm going to go to the last, you know, the last memory. Room. So as I'm thinking, all of a sudden, as I do it, you know, I'm like, oh, what should I do? I'm thinking, oh, who am I going to save first? Should I, you know, go the first room or should I be the last room? And then all of a sudden, as I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll save at the top first because I remember the fire escape was falling. And as I do, a beam on fire falls down right where I would have been, but I teleported away.
All right, so that's two.
All right.
For the teleporting and the beam falling.
Yep. So. I guess it didn't teleport, but I saved myself.
Okay.
Well, you have to roll. What's your teleport skill?
No, I said two.
No, you said you didn't teleport.
No, you roll two dice at
one attack and one
below your teleport.
Oh, your teleport's four.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, right?
Yeah, no, I thought your teleport was fine.
I didn't know what you were doing. I was just describing what to do because it's...
So you got one for attack and one for defense?
No, I got none for attack.
None for attack.
One for defense.
All right, so your actions don't really affect the fire at all, but, you know, you managed to haplessly teleport out of the way as a burning, you know, beam falls directly where you were just standing. You find yourself in an empty apartment with a radio going. The apartment doesn't seem to be on fire, but you can see smoke.
Well, first I'm going to turn off that radio because I don't want to waste electricity.
Okay. So you wander over to the radio and snap it off.
Waste that what not, they always say.
And then, of course, and I teleport, and I, I go to the door and see if it's hot.
Okay.
If it's not, I will open it. If it's not, I'll just teleport into the hallway.
So you're going to check if there's fire.
And if there isn't,
you're going to open the door. But if there is, you're still going to teleport to where the fire is. You're just not going to use the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you three for that one.
All right. Oh, gosh. I got one each.
One each.
Yeah.
All right, so the door is not hot. So you open the door and you walk out into the hallway. You glance around and you see that there is a man collapsed. He's got smoke inhalation.
Gosh.
And he is just like barely hanging on to life. He's covered in ash and, you know, singed, and every, you know, all of his clothing is burned. And
well, I'm going to do medical treatment. So I see him, and my medical knowledge, I pull out my bag and I wrap him up and with gauze. And
is that how you treat smoke inhalation?
I thought he was burned up.
Oh, he was. All right.
You could just teleport.
Shut up, Chris.
Okay.
And I will wrap
him
up.
Funny.
I will offer to go, sir. I am a doctor. I'm a part of the No Way. I'm a No Way Squad doctor.
Help me.
I will, sir. I mean, first he's a medical attention. And I will wrap him up. And go.
Do you have insurance, sir?
First, I am going to see your
insurance. Who would I need to bill for this treatment then?
I ran a free clinic.
Okay.
Altruistic doctor. All right. So you have a medical skill?
There's knowledge of everything.
Knowledge of everything. All right. So give me two dice for that.
Okay. Well, doesn't matter. I succeeded in both.
All right. So I'll say that takes away one from the fire's threat. Either.
And I would teleport away, of course.
Yeah. All right. I'll say you just do that. All right. So everybody else is still outside.
All right. As soon as Ed touches down, I calmly step off of him, not even losing any momentum.
Okay.
I adjust my tie to make sure it's nice and straight again. Make sure my knot's good. Brush off my jacket and keep walking as I see the fire in front, raging in the building in front of me. I mumble to myself, today's forecast calls for rain. And then I send a torrential downpour to start falling over the whole area as the wind and rain gust into the building and douse parts of the... No, dousing the fire.
Okay, so that's four.
Would I have to make a defense roll for the fire, because I'm a block away?
Well, also, just for
right,
general
those guys.
Combat. Yeah. So there are the four, the purple guys.
Yes, yes. Wow. One for attack, and that's it.
All right. So... I mean, one of your cheat.
That would have been cool.
Yoda cheat.
Alex, the sky, like, opens up. The heavens start to pour down water, and you send the wind that just blows it right in through all of the open windows. It looks like it is having an effect on the fire.
That's what I want him.
It's not there yet. meanwhile, one of the guys in purple
mm-hmm.
comes up behind you, and you dodge out of the way just in time, since you spent that chi. He's got a baseball bat, Louisville Slugger, wrapped in barbed wire. He just like brings it down and it bounces off of the sidewalk inches from where you were.
Right. May I go?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on one second. I have something in response to what Alex just did. So after they all sort of leap out of the way of my bullets, the guys begin to jump on me. And I have like five or six guys on my exoskeleton.
Okay.
Just hammering away at me.
With bricks and bats and chains and
whatnot. When I hear Alex make his witty comment, and it enters my positronic brain, and it registers that he made a witty comment, and that it was funnier than anything that I have said all night.
Now, what am I going to say about that?
Chortlebot 3000's eye blazes red. As all the parts of him begin to rotate at lightning quick speed, and the serrated metal edges of his exoskeleton and all the spikes on him just become a whirling dervish of death and pain and grind everything up, touching him up into fine pink paste.
I like to get off of him.
I would like to not be on him.
I would also like to not be standing on him for that.
You were on your duck, weren't you? Or no?
He grabbed me anyway.
Right. My move is retconned from this, but it's okay. We'll get there.
We can just the way this is supposed to work.
Okay.
It's like a free fall. Everybody just
okay,
shouts right. things.
Well, okay. No problem.
We all roll whatever.
Great. This will free Chris up. Okay. So as he is about to land. I have been examining on my iPhone clips from Bruce Lee, Gymkata, any group combat scenarios that I can find.
Okay.
So I leap from the robot doing a break fall to a front roll. I come out of the front roll delivering a spear, you know, into a guy in front of me. Rolling, you know, as I knock him to the ground, I kind of roll over the top of him, planting my feet and jumping up and doing those cool split front back kicks at the same time
okay.
to two other guys. You think that works?
Okay, Ed, you get four for your thing, and Derek, you get seven. Split them however you want.
Well, let's see. I would like to...
two and two.
Since no one's really paying attention to Rotato yet...
Yeah.
He's moving pretty fast. Like, how fast is he moving? It's hard to see him.
Yeah, he's a blur. He's, like, literally... You see a tree. He like, whirls up it in a Tasmanian devil style, like Ed said, a dervish-style whirlwind. The branches just fall off of it, and the end of it sharpens like a pencil.
Alright, well, considering that I spend a lot of time with guns, I'm a sharpshooter, I would figure that my eye is pretty well trained. I can hit a moving target pretty well. So since I have a perception skill here, I would like to put all my focus, all my training in on keeping a bead on this guy
okay.
so I can take a shot at him.
Alright.
Is that one of those scab actions like you said, or is that a...
No, I'd say that's a combat action. So, I would go with two dice on that. Because remember, the whole point of getting more dice is to add more detail to it. So, like, if you say something like, you know, the soundtrack goes silent as I draw my rifle, you know, and I glance down the length of the barrel at the sights, you know, my finger trembles on the trigger as I get a bead on this guy, you know, that would get you, like, three or four of them.
That, I say that.
That's what I say.
That's what I meant to say.
All right.
That was the subtext, Ryan. Way to just all right,
so
put it all out
there. Three.
Read between the lines, Ryan.
Yeah, read between the lines of everything we say. So get us more dice.
How did you do that?
As a four and a two for me?
Four and
two. And a two.
All right.
I got two and a one for mine when we get to me.
I got double deuces.
In order, what happens? Ed, you go into...
Cuisinart mode.
So, yeah, self-loading fury, Cuisinart blend.
Before he does that, I'd like to calmly step off him, at least.
That's
we'll go from there.
That's fine. Your limbs
what?
Start whirling like blades.
Well, I think it's out. Oh, nice.
And the...
bad drawing. What a curse.
The guys who had leaped onto you are just cut to ribbons. Everybody standing underneath that is showered with guts and bone and
viscera.
Yeah, viscera brains.
It's good that I'm showered in that.
Is blood magic one of your skills?
Yes,
blood magics.
I like before this happens.
I have like purple guy blood on me.
Before this happens, Derek.
Yes.
You leap off of Ed. You know, with your iPhone in your hand, watching this film, and you go into the, you know, the break fall, the roll, the kick, and you take out like three or four of the purple guys with your mad Bruce Lee moves. Eric, everything around you just sort of clears, and you know, you go into sort of zen gun mode. You draw your rifle. You take careful aim, and you fire. And
there's two successes.
Ta-da! The rotato stops, and you can see him. He's got, you know, what's his name? Baraka from Mortal Kombat, like blade arms from his elbows to his hands. He has actually caught the bullet in between his arms. Uh-huh. And he looks at you with kind of a manic smile.
It's more coming.
Ryan, as the guy who tried to hit me with, you said it was a barbed wire bat?
Yes.
He's swinging out. I duck out of the way. I turn to him and say, "Hey there, friend. You shouldn't be playing with dangerous objects like that. Why don't you give that to me?" And I'll flash him my trademark disarming smile. And when he's hypnotized by the glow of my teeth and hands me the bat, I'll say, "Thanks, friend," and I'll take it and smack him in the face as hard as I can.
All right, that's four.
I'm going to go three attack, okay. One defense again.
Chris knows what he's doing.
Well, three attack, but no defense.
All right.
Defense is not my forte. There's my chi.
So,
what happens if we run out of chi?
If you run out of chi, you're out of the fight.
Now, is it, just because I have one left, is it when I spend this last one or after that?
After that.
Okay.
If you lose chi, you go into the hole.
Okay, gotcha.
Use
chi for anything else?
They're pretty much your hit points, but like I said, you can get them back for doing dramatic things. all right, so Akos, you exactly as you said, disarm the guy with your award winning smile.
Yep. Oh, you're right. This is heavy. You can have
that. Here you go.
Thanks.
You whack him, and he flies backwards into three of his friends. however, one guy comes up behind you and whips a chain around your neck and starts to, you know, strangle you with it.
Okay.
Can I get No. It's your move. Can I just get an idea what our location is?
I figured like suburban.
No, I mean like where everybody is. What's our distance? I'm just curious where people are.
Not too close. Yeah, Meyer's down the block by the fire.
Yeah, Meyer's down the block by the fire. You're also sort of closer to the fire.
Uh-huh.
Eric is facing off with the Rotato.
Okay.
Ed is, I would say, still sort of hovering back by the line of purple guys.
Throwing around red
there's
and purple goo.
Yes. Derek.
Yeah, Derek, Chris, and Eric, I think.
Chris hasn't really established where he is yet.
Okay, where he will right now.
He's by the robot, wasn't he?
Right, well, I'm going to, I guess before I was grabbed, I'll have taken off my suit. So I'm down to just my Speedo at this point again. All right, so
why do you even bother with the suit?
Always dress nicely, but I don't want to get blood on my suit when I'm fighting.
No, I understand that. So you just walk around with the Speedo.
No, no.
Okay.
I gotta maintain my...
Professionalism. I could appreciate that.
All right, so I calmly step off of... what's a bot? Something bot?
Chortle bot.
Look around, and then get doused in viscera and blood. Go, and I start drawing like a little symbol on my chest in the blood and walking into the crowd and putting my hands up. And all these birds start swarming around me. Bursting into flames and just falling into the group of purple people and just little flaming missiles.
They turn into bird dive bombers?
They turn into birdemic birds.
All right, Chris, that's 5 dice.
All right. I'm going to do 2 defense and 3 offense.
They look so good.
Split them however you want.
And I'll call that blood magics.
I would say so.
That's every single one of them again.
All right.
So 3 attacks and 2 defenses.
So most of the purple guys are gone at this point, either shredded, burned, bludgeoned, or...
I shot one.
Yeah.
I shot one.
With their hearts blown out.
All right, so, Ryan, I teleport the guy to the sidewalk and make sure he's stable in condition. I look up, and the dog is, you know, at first I wipe some sweat from my head.
Okay.
I look up and I still see that dog barking, and I have never been good with dogs. Dogs just for some reason do not like me. I love them, but they don't like me. So I was
okay.
Like, "Who's good with dogs?" Mr. Upduck was it. So I'm gonna teleport to Mr. Upduck, grab him. I need your help. I teleport him to the burning dog. I'm like, "All right, save this dog." And then I teleport into a teleporting away.
Alright, yeah. So that's 4.
Chris, you're going somewhere.
Chris Meyer's absconding with you.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
That was terrible. 3 sixes.
On second thought, he's not.
That was my defense, so I got. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use my...
Cheat. Your cheat?
Yeah, okay. So I didn't defend, but I got 1 to succeed.
All
right. So what happened to me?
I got...
Meyer kidnapped you to save a dog.
Yeah, and he teleported you into the burning apartment building. And told you to save a dog.
Neon will be happy to save a dog.
All right, so... Glistening and dripping with crimson gore from the people that he has just eviscerated and basically blended into a fine paste. Still in rage.
I would say eviscerated is a poor choice of words. I would say frappé.
Frappé. Still in rage mode. Chortlebot looks around him at the carnage, looks around in slow motion at the carnage befalling him. And then looks forward, and he realizes that his life is nothing but pain and agony because he can't be funny, and he decides that he needs to destroy the silliest-looking thing in the on the battlefield, which is obviously the Rotato.
Yeah.
And his eyes...
I forgot to mention that the Rotato is wearing a...
Purple jumpsuit?
Yes.
Okay.
His eyes center in on the Rotato, and... His vision goes completely red as the words "kill" with just exclamation points appear before his vision. Yeah.
Target acquired.
You actually have a projector.
His voice stops being so pleasant and jovial. And Chortlebot 3000's life is misery. Destroy! As he leaps forward, taking just bounding towards the Rotato, destroying. purple jumpsuit men after purple jumpsuit men, with each step just crunching them in his wake as he hurtles himself towards the Rotato, and with a piston kick launches him into the air.
Okay.
Can I jump in on this?
Yeah, Rotato is also going to jump in on this first, though. After
you should
he
say
gets,
pull right before he kicks him.
After he gets launched into the air, the Rotato is going to go into another one of his whirlwinds. So as you throw him down the street, he's going to slice up the trees that he just sharpened into pointed, you know, giant flying spikes. He's going to use his arms to slice them at the trunk, knock them into the air, and send them back at you like projectiles.
Well, Ryan, I'm going to see him doing that, and I'm going to call down a series of tornadoes that are going to probably decimate the entire area. But also, as he starts sending these trees, I'm going to bring down these spitting funnels of nature's fury to come crashing to the ground, sweeping up the trees and all the other detritus that he has created, and send them flying right back at him.
Okay.
Can I resume jumping in on it like I
before
two people stop me?
And then...
Well, we all roll at once, so...
Alright, well, I have a lot of gunplay, so I also only use one gun. I also only use one type of gun. I'm going to be reaching into my pocket and pulling out my other gun, which is a grappling hook gun.
Okay.
As Ed runs off, I'm going to shoot the gun, grab onto one of his arms as he's running off. I like to swing... take a nice swing, try like dodging the trees, anything that I can. And as I come to the cusp of my swing, I like to aim my rifle armed with an explosive round and take a shot at the Rotato.
Okay, I would say Ed, you get 4.
I didn't say pull.
Alex, you get 4.
Okay,
Eric, you get 4 as well. And he's gonna roll. He's gonna make all of his dice defense dice.
So that means he's not attacking us then?
No.
Okay. Well, then I won't roll.
So I don't have to roll.
Oh, so we don't have to roll
defend. The purple guys can still.
There's still a couple of threats.
Okay.
Well.
Wow. Okay.
I rolled 3 to hit, and then I'm gonna just use a chi to not get hit.
I rolled 2 to hit and 1 to defend.
And I also rolled 2 to hit, 1 to defend.
Everybody rolled at least 1 to defend, right?
No.
Okay, so Ed loses a chi. How many hit? 3?
2.
Alright.
7 total.
So, in that case, the Rotato is out of the picture.
Yeah!
Alright!
All right, so here's what happens. He goes flying down the street in a spinning dervish of fury, slicing up the trees and basically like tossing them into the air and hitting them back toward Ed. Ed, you lose a chi because one of the spikes actually impacts with you and knocks you to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
However, you do rain down. As Tom Cruise said in Tropic Thunder, an ungodly fucking firestorm upon him. and between that, the explosive round, and the tornado...
Throwing his spikes back at him.
Yes, throwing his spikes back at him. Basically what happens is all of the shit converges on him at once. The rockets, the explosive round, and all of the spikes... And what's left is just a burning smear on the street with a couple of tree-sized spikes sticking out of it.
All right, Ryan.
Someone should pee on it.
Ryan, here's the thing.
The
dog. Now that I've shot myself and gotten into swing, I figure the grappling hook might release. I might be kind of free-falling at the moment. I would like to quickly pull out an assault rifle, shoot at one of the trees for it to fall down, and try to land on safely in a like a bushel of leaves.
Okay, so that's 3 for your gunplay.
Oh wait, 4 dice. Wait, this is a combat roll type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know what the thing with scab rolls is.
Basically, if you're in combat, it's a combat roll, pretty much.
All three successes. Two attack and one defense.
Do I get a chi back for tornadoing his ass?
Yes.
Nice.
In fact, you can all have a chi back for...
Is three the max chi?
No.
Oh, so okay. I didn't lose one. I just lost it and got one more back.
Yeah, thank you.
So, in the
I'm just covering the action with my camera, because I can't move so much right now.
Right.
I'm pretty winded. So.
from doing all
does
that.
This mean, sorry, everyone's dead?
Oh, well, there's still the burning building.
There's still the fire,
right,
which is in full swing, and there are a couple of...
Did I take any of them out while I was running forward over them?
No.
Because that was an attack aimed at the Rotato.
Yeah, you were all attacking the Rotato. So he rolled five dots of defense, so his super speed was almost enough to overcome that, but... Since the three of you were attacking him at once,
you hit seven on his five.
With guns and fucking spikes and bombs and shit. He came out on the losing end of that one. So yeah, there are actually...
Meanwhile, in the lair of burning...
You guys are... let's cut back to the fire for a bit.
Right, so exactly,
Chris,
where did we get teleported?
You are now on the fourth floor of this apartment building. There is a barking dog and fire all around you.
Okay.
We'll say the dog is standing over the body of a small girl who has collapsed due to smoke inhalation.
Well, I wouldn't have left then.
You didn't know she was there.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Also, Meyer left me.
You can rest.
I'm there. I'm taking care of.
She's clutching a doll, and like I said, she's on the floor, passed out.
That's heavy for no way squad.
Like the time we destroyed the orphanage and killed all of them.
This is East Coast.
Which time we destroyed the orphanage?
We did do it twice.
And just because the brain held a headless orphan.
No, it was just the arm.
Yeah, it was just the arm.
And took picture and the man.
Hey, I'm the one who decided to blow up the orphanage.
The no way squad.
Which time?
Remember at the beginning when we said we'd talk about in jokes? This is when we're talking about.
Well, we cut a context though.
Yeah, people are gonna understand the blew up an orphanage joke.
Yeah,
it's not really a joke.
Not much.
Not much as a story.
I forgot about these people at home. I just...
All right.
I'm not supposed to pay attention.
So yeah, what are you guys? What are your actions?
Fourth floor, you said?
Yeah, fourth floor.
The middle of the hallway?
An apartment.
Say
you're in the living room of an apartment.
Is there a window?
Yes, there is.
That's why the dog is barking.
The window is... Yeah.
I am an apartment.
All right, I got what I'm going to do then.
What
you,
I'm,
you, you
what
brought
I'm
me...
feeling this dog is going to transform into something god-awful.
No, you brought me here to save the dog, right? You said save the dog.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to whistle. The dog is going to perk up, run, and jump into my arms. I'm going to grab it and do a flying jump out the window and land on my duck as it passes.
All right, so that's five.
Okay, five. I guess that's what, all defense?
Well, you can attack. I'm going
to
say that...
All right, wait. How about the duck swoops up top to a water tower on top of the roof and knocks it over or something?
All right. So go ahead and add a sixth die
okay.
for that.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There we go. I'll do two defense here. What is this? Dominion over animals, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3 on the attack and 2 on the defense.
Okay. Chris... You, basically, like, something else I probably should have pointed out a little earlier. Everything in this game happens exactly like you say it happens. The roles are just to determine how effective the action is. You know, so, like, if Chris had failed that role, the water would have spilled, but it would have missed. Or, you know, it wouldn't have put out, it would have gone over an area of the building that wasn't really on fire. But Chris... The fourth floor and the whole right side of the building is now pretty much out.
Yeah. And I'm flying
and
around
flying
on my
around
duck with a dog.
Yeah. On your
in
duck
the raging storm.
Yes.
With a dog.
Storms.
In
Let me see, they got thunder, lightning, torrential rain, and tornadoes.
Right. Yeah, you
all in this one residential area.
You briefly fly above the building, above the line of the building, and you catch sight of black funnels starting to touch down at various points around Boston.
No, just this general area, Cambridge area.
Around in the neighborhood.
Black funnels, like having fun or something.
Meyer? You want to add anything to this?
Maybe like a funnel cake.
That's a good one.
Well...
Not as funny as me, though, motherfucker.
Have you heard Chip trying
there's,
to go to
there's
break?
Still the family of screaming people.
I don't think so.
That's his in the fire.
Usually right after they come back from the break. He'll pull like one of his terrible jokes and go, you're not getting any better than that. Hit it, Lady Rock.
Oh yeah, they ended the show with that the other day.
Because I'm looking over my camera. No, I'm looking at my camera, looking around, moving my head around my camera, I'm observing things. So if anything is going on that's a physical action, I'll be picking it up just by being
okay.
I don't know what would be happening.
I'm
but
sure
after we deal with Meyer, get back to what's going on.
No problem. Let's put it out there.
Meyer, you want me to get back to you?
Derek knows how to unhinge himself to just become a whirling.
That's right. No, I can do that.
All
right.
There are only a couple of purple guys left, but they have flamethrowers.
That explains so much.
Oh.
They're the ones who caused the fire.
The fire had to come from someplace.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
Remember that vacuum with a blade in it in my chest that I have?
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna fire. I'm gonna whip around. And actually, it's just my torso is gonna whip around. My torso.
your head and your legs stay stationary.
Yeah. My torso just whips around. Faces the bad guys. And then my chest vacuum begins to whirl. Slowly at first. And then the guys with the flamethrowers take a couple of steps forward and quizzically look at what's going on. And then it starts to speed up, and it spins with such force that it creates a vacuum that just drags anything in.
That's what most vacuums do. Ryan, I'm going to help Ed with that.
Wait, hold on. I have rocks and some of the tree pieces and also dead body parts that are coming into this funnel, into my chest. And they're all being sprayed out of my mouth in an arc over everything. So it's just being sprayed over.
So you're turning
yourself
into
a snowblower.
You're turning yourself into a wood chipper.
Basically, a slurry of stuff.
Yeah.
He's making a paste
over,
and putting out
over
the fire.
The carnage that just happened with the rotato.
Ryan, I'm gonna jump in on that one. I'm going to stand there, the wind whipping at my jacket, which has come unbuttoned, my tie flapping over my shoulder, and I'm
hair
going
perfect.
To, hair, of course, perfect. And I'm going to summon my tornadoes to start moving and coming around on the few remaining purple guys and start picking them up and throwing them towards Ed so they'll more easily be sucked into his vacuous man maw.
Okay.
And then I laugh as the explosions from their tanks just shoot flames everywhere.
Okay. Vacuous man maw.
like six for you and seven for you.
I'm going to do five attack and one
vacuous
defense.
Vacuous man maw.
One, two.
Well, two defense and then five attack.
Four attack, one defense.
All right, so...
You hit a defense die?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Me too.
Are there any purple guys left after that?
No. You have successfully painted the street with them.
I'm probably also looking really awesome because I'm probably now also spitting fire.
Yeah, fire and blood and viscera and...
Bits of purple
bits
fabric.
Bits of trees and rocks and...
He's basically
benches.
Shooting like a carpet of flame. It doesn't go out when it hits things.
You're actually setting more of the neighborhood on fire. So I'm going to go ahead and add a couple of dice to the fire threat.
Oh, well.
It's a fair cop.
All right, so now the real threat, since you've taken care of the rotato and all of the henchmen, is the fact that Cambridge is on fucking fire.
I say in true No Way Squad fashion, we go home. Job well done.
We were asked to take care of the rotato.
All right, and you can do that if you want. That's perfectly acceptable.
Ryan,
yeah.
I'm going to pause for a moment, and I'm going to summon the biggest storm that I can. I'm thinking like hurricane, just set, well, not centered, because then it would just be the eye, but like a hurricane swirling over the neighborhood. So wind whips furiously and rips trees out of the ground, sending them flying through houses. Rain just falls in sheets, dousing every flame that sprouts up. Glass shatters at every window, sending rain and water flying into the buildings, hopefully dousing everything. And all the viscera and everything that's lying around just gets washed away and cleaning the streets as well.
All right.
Neon rides in the eye of that hurricane.
I hide in a nearby door frame. Still sucking wind, but getting more strength back.
Not really sure how else Neon could have survived that, so.
Anybody else want to contribute to that?
I just want to not die from that. That's all I care about. All
right, I'm going to say everybody who is outside has to describe to me how they don't die. From
unless that. You guys want to veto that, but
I'm a 2-ton robot.
That's fine.
That's all I'm describing it. I'm a 2-ton robot.
Does the 2-ton robot have a chest compartment I can jump into?
Yes, well, but it's a giant back.
Blade spinning around in it.
I will deactivate my spinning blade as soon as the.
You can hold on to him.
Maybe he's got a
foot cavity you could go in.
I do have a smuggling compartment in my leg.
I'll jump into that if he'll let me. All right, I'm getting safe.
All right, so Eric, you get 2 dice. Ed, I'm going to say you can make a scab roll with your...
I keep forgetting to do details. You can take another shot at it. I'm so used to just doing a roll. All right. I've just finished pouring this explosive round into the Rotato. I'm thinking this is a job well done. I set my gun over my shoulder, look confidently out, and then I see the storm coming. Turning around, looking for the greatest bit of shelter I can. The greatest bit of shelter that I can find is Ed. So look
up. Turtlebot 3000.
Is Turtlebot 3000.
Yeah, no, Ed isn't really a cover.
No.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn to the Turtlebot. Ed. You got a lot of machinery on you. Got any hollow places? All right. This is a little weird, but... I'm a little weird too. I'm gonna jump in here.
Can I get in your leg?
Alright.
Is there anyone in your leg?
You get 4 dice for that.
I rolled a 5 on my scale.
You rolled a 5? Okay, that's a pretty solid success. Alex.
Ryan, this is a godfather of a storm.
Okay.
This is the kind of storm that Thor would run away from.
I would say 8 dice.
All right.
You put a lot of detail into that.
Do I need defense on this?
No.
Damn it.
Okay.
I only got one success, and then for attack, I guess, and then none for defense. But
6 attack.
Why were you rolling any attack, Harry?
Well... Unless that's some scab roll. But...
Just count it as a defense, the success. Because you were just rolling to...
Okay. All right.
How'd you do?
6.
6 attack?
Eric, you could do all defense.
All right.
Oh, yeah, because you're... Yeah, for that, so you weren't attacking anything.
Right.
So you could just...
It's
okay.
Still picking up on the nuances.
Learn already!
Figure it out or I'll stab you with a pencil.
Figure it out or I'll carve you in 2 with a...
Chris, you're still out in the open on your duck.
I'm in the eye of the storm.
Okay, so you
that's
can just
how he's
right to the arm, to the eye?
Yeah.
Alright, give me a scab roll with your control animals.
So I roll 4 there and
you
give me the highest
and
number?
Tell me what the highest number is.
5?
5, yeah, that's a solid success. So you soar above the cloud line. Into
I could just go over the storm too, if that's easier.
Yeah, sure. So you fly up through the clouds above the storm. Derek, how about you? What are you?
I'm able to stand a little more now. I'm not sucking as much wind, but I still am. I'm still a little weak. But I look over to the side and I see there's a truck overturned sideways. Kind of pushed up against a stone building. There's a door on the other side of it, so I take one last forward roll to get myself into position, and as the winds come in and the water is pouring in, I slide through the doorway and close it behind me.
All right, four dice. And Meyer, you're in the building stone, right?
This is defense, or yeah, right?
Yeah, just defense. Yeah.
That would be three.
Yeah, you're fine.
See, Ran, I am in the building. However, I see the conditions of a terrible hurricane happening, and I do believe a man in the street.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
So I see it. I'm tending to this little girl. I see all the perfect conditions of this storm is going to happen.
Okay.
And so I teleport, and I teleport as the hurricane happens. So the wind, I teleport, and the wind hits me, and I'm trying to grab the guy and get a hold of him so I can teleport. And just as a
tree,
a tree comes. This
falling
through this place, and Glenn's got his grabbing hand and teleport into the, I guess, the burning lobby.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Yeah. All right, five dice.
Alex.
We've been comboing this bitch up.
I got three for defense and one for attack.
All right, so
yeah, I'm in your leg.
Yeah. You bring in a spray of water with you that gasses some fire.
You manage to teleport in some of the rain, and it douses a little bit of the fire.
Just
and also, you save that guy and the little girl too. we'll say the fire is now reduced to very, very small proportions. Most of the neighborhood is out. The streets have been washed clean of blood and viscera and
buildings.
We've succeeded. I'm this is Jane.
Exactly.
I think one or two more. Ed, I'm just going to say, from you spewing out all of this blood and viscera and flaming stuff, you now have a red kind of circle of blood and you know, basically slurry around your mouth. A branch has embedded itself on your head, so you now kind of look like a clown with a puppy on it.
Yes!
Could the branch look like an arrow?
Yes. The branch actually went literally through your head. But there wasn't anything in there, because that's...
Alright, so this is going to make Eric very upset. But I'm going to catch sight of my reflection in the mirror. And
the mirror?
In a
pool of water.
In a pool of water.
The only thing on the street that's undamaged is a glass delivery truck.
It's a mirror. It's huge.
It's lined with a window. It's a mirror.
It's a puddle that Alex has created.
The puddle that used to be a park, please.
I'm going to catch my reflection, and it's going to enter my mind and all of the reserves that I have about the history of America, and it's going to dawn on me that I am now the perfect comedy machine.
So you switch from your life is misery and your existence is pain to I am the ultimate fulfillment of my own purpose.
My eye is going to calm down. My kill circuits are going to sort of disengage, and I'm going to become so overjoyed that I'm going to begin dancing a jig.
I get to grab on for dear life.
but not just a jig. This is going to be such, because of the weight that Chortlebot 3000 possesses,
this is going
to be such an immense jig that is actually going to shake the building with enough force that any of the little bits of flames, like, it's going to basically shake some, like, rubble loose.
Okay.
It's going to fall on any of the flames and, like, sand and dirt and stuff. And cement is just going to blanket the rest of the building.
From the sand that's stored on the top.
I would say go ahead.
Do you have enough sand in your room? It's a fire.
Make me a stab roll of some kind and tell me how you survive.
Because you know, everyone knows how apartment buildings feel. They're filled with sand.
Perception to see a way out.
Gun. You have a gun that
That's a good one. I said that.
Aren't you glad that Chris is here?
Usually Eric's not glad that I'm here.
Six, all right. So, yeah, you managed to fill his leg cavity with enough foam that it doesn't kill you, smother you to death, but it also manages to keep you protected as the giant robot you're hiding in.
That's a jig.
this... Meyer.
And it's a full-on Irish jig.
The building that you're in starts shaking violently. You hear rumbles
in the foam and like
and groans as the structure of the building literally starts to give in.
All the ceiling sand.
Your perception just fills with like cement dust.
No one knew the top of an hourglass factory.
the fire gets put out, but the top two stories of the building collapse.
Oh god!
Killing the family that was trapped inside.
It isn't always burned to death.
It was quick.
It was much quicker than burning to death.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
You walk out onto the street and you see that not a single thing on the street is.
Oh, the little girl's dead.
In the place.
She's in the building.
She was on the fourth floor.
You got her out.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Yeah, you got her out.
I left her to save a guy.
Really? All right, well. Oh. I thought you teleported with her.
Oh,
and
okay.
Her and the guy.
Oh, there you go.
So let's say you got
the girl,
the
guy,
the dog, the guy in the building. The family died.
And everyone else who was on the top two.
And anybody else who was out on the street.
That's right, they were all Hitlers.
They were actually, like I said, tourists and college students.
And a Nobel Prize.
And one Nobel laureate.
They were tourist Hitlers.
They were tourist Hitlers.
And
the Third Reich.
The poet laureate of America. Can we kill him too?
Boston probably has a poet laureate.
Okay. The poet laureate of Boston.
Well, I'm still
I'm going to still attend to the people, make sure that the firemen come.
There are uprooted...
I'd be surprised the firemen came. Like, oh, firemen.
There are uprooted trees, collapsed buildings... Human slurry.
No.
That's right. It's all washed down.
There's the pink foam every
yes,
so
there,
often. But...
There is a pink foam by the sewers, but there's
no
more
human
slurry.
I'm going to go, and is the phone booth still working?
The phone booth is actually on its side.
Down the block.
Down the block, yes.
No. That doesn't still work.
You can try it.
I'm gonna say, as anyone phone, we should call 911 because there are people.
I'm gonna hand him the phone in my arm. Here you go, friend.
Thank you, Mr.
Reach out and call someone.
I'm picturing meanwhile he opens his leg compartment and I, in a cylinder of foam, my foam just slide out of it.
You're basically just a cylinder with legs and a face.
Sorry, Rusty, I forgot you were there.
Ryan, as the clouds clear and the sun comes out, I just reach up and fix one stray strand of hair on my other one's perfect head, and once again adjust my tie.
Is it still raining?
No.
The rain clears up.
Okay.
The sun comes out.
So then I come out when the rain clears
up. Neon is going to descend on his duck and land next to his suit and start putting it back on.
People are crying and holding each other in fear. But
we
the threat is
Cambridge.
Over.
I saved two people.
You saved Cambridge. Those who managed to survive the hurricane and the flames and the flying spikes, they're
the flames
I'm not
going to
say they're happy with you, but
they could be less.
Why not?
Happy.
They were always happy with the other No Way squad.
No, they weren't.
Weren't they?
No.
I usually remember people cheering.
Character is drunk. That's probably him.
I wasn't. Or worried.
All right, so I guess that about wraps it up. So you guys send the You know what? Derek, Chris, and who else had the cameras?
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, each of you...
They have a good little segment from me of just pitch darkness from being in a leg.
All you hear is bum, 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 clang, clang, bum, bum, clang.
You switched on the night shot, so you could actually just see the small space that you're in filled with.
The audio is kind of awful and
yeah.
deafening.
And at one point, there's...
It sounds like he's in a jet engine.
I was just picturing Zale listening to it and just being like, this is a pretty good song.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he was going to do.
At one point, there's this distorted
the
Irish
sound effect in this, man.
Alright, so... We'll cut over to the No Way Squad LA. Brian Wong, the Brain, and Zhao. You guys get this. You guys get this tape from the new recruits in Boston of all of the events that we've just described. You have to rate it out of 10 for style, effectiveness, and heroism.
I add my own brain. The Brain adds its own categories: a badassness,
badassity.
Zhao gives him straight A's across the board.
Okay.
Brian Wong.
It's out of 10.
Yes.
I just realized
that. That was a joke, Eric. Thank
you. It took me a second. I'm tired. I can start the meeting now.
So let's see the footage of Eric. Of course, the first time they try to watch the tape, Zhao goes, there they are, and shoots 6 bullets into the TV and throws the empty revolver into
it. I'm a robot. What are we not a robot?
We have a ninja.
We do?
Look over and the ninja is sitting there. He gives you a thumbs up.
I think the ninja should show up in the East Coast one just sometimes. No reason.
If we get
Paul.
Yeah.
He's Paul just still the ninja.
That one game of Paul. Just for the folks at home to explain this in-joke. We played this one game where our friend Paul was the group's ninja. And he fell asleep through the whole game. So we just... We just said that the ninja was there, no matter where we went or what we did.
Because that's how good a ninja he was. Yeah. We didn't even know he was with us.
And he always got shotgun.
Yeah.
Brian
Wong, the Italian stallion, Asian sensation, feels for some reason feels a kinship with Chortlewatt 3000.
Strange.
And... rates him 10 out of 10 because he wants to fight him and see who would win in a fight.
Okay.
And also because robots are cool.
So we've got a perfect 30, 3 A's.
what was the different categories again?
It's style, effectiveness, and heroism. So like how much flourish they had.
All ones.
How effective they were at stopping the threat. And how brave and heroic they were.
Ones.
You get one. They get ones across the board.
I think P Device has figured that whatever the Brain says, he's just going to do the opposite.
Okay. So we cut back to the Boston head office, back in the storefront.
How much later is this after?
We'll say like a day later.
I'm still in the foam.
You're just in.
You're
case,
waiting for it to dissolve.
Encased in a cylinder of foam.
It lasts 48 hours.
This is survival training.
You want to see how well you can survive? Well, encased in a cylinder of foam.
You never know.
Come up.
Alex, these yours.
Oh, excuse me.
So,
Ryan.
Mr. XP.
Even mine.
Why don't you wait until we're done recording?
Yeah, we're not done yet, guys.
Mr. XP calls you all back to his office and he says, well, I've been looking at the headlines here and, wow, you boys made quite a mess. But, that little girl and that guy that you saved from that building down there.
And that dog.
And the dog.
He hasn't shut up about how great it was that you came to help him.
The dog hasn't left your side, by the way. It's still...
It's my dog now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You have no idea whose dog it was.
It's long well with the dog.
I know who,
but they're probably dead.
They're probably...
Oh, it was a little
either
girl's.
Burned alive or buried under...
Oh, it probably was a little girl's dog.
Not anymore.
You think that's bad? You should eat papaya.
But I submitted your footage to the Home Office in L.A., and they got back to me. Mr. Device recommends that I admit you all as full-fledged members of the No Way Squad.
Well, I'm definitely glad to hear it.
Yeah, stick around for a little while. That sounds good to me.
No, I mean,
all right. Again. So we got the gig.
No Way Squad.
He's ghost.
I'll be here all week. Try the V. I don't know why I said that in my voice. I should have said that in Ned's character.
I'll be here all week. Try
so
the veal.
What's the joke with Mr. XP?
Try the veal.
Oh,
XP, like experience points, right?
In TV trope speak, an XP is a character from something that is basically just they change the name and move it to something else.
Oh, okay.
DSP device.
Yeah.
DSP, okay.
DSP device, but, you know, he serves the exact same function.
Right.
He's just in Boston.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to us being weird.
Shut up, Eric.
No!
I hope you all enjoyed the first installment.
Shut up, big head.
Yeah, okay, so hopefully we'll have more No Way Squad East Coast coming soon.
Before,
hope you all enjoyed that.
Before we stop, what did you guys think?
I really liked it. I'm glad that I can finally play a character of the No Way Squad who can cause the most collateral damage.
I cause the least collateral.
It's like we switch.
Yeah. I still have to get an exact hold on my character, but I had a good time with it.
No, I don't know. I caused quite a bit, too. I destroyed the top floors of a building.
Well, I'm not saying that other people can't.
Yeah.
I just destroyed a neighborhood. It was fun.
The only thing I don't really like about the system, though, is the no turns thing. Sometimes it's hard to get a word in edgewise.
Well, you
can just talk.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call it. Let other people talk if I start talking at the same
time. Don't be such a pussy.
Well, the thing about this is, you don't have to. It says right in the rules that you can roll for a whole fight's worth of combat actions at once if you want. So if you have something that you want to chip in before people roll, just say, like, I'd like to add something to this. And you did that.
Mm.
And it worked.
Yeah.
I built in nap time with my character, so it works out just fine.
All right, everyone.
I'm worried my character is going to be too serious compared to Zhao Meidong.
It's okay.
It's all right. No one knows them. This is all new.
Yep.
But
it's going to be difficult for me.
Oh,
your
okay.
character is going to be serious, but in a horrifying, absurd way.
Yeah. Yes, but still.
Like,
much different than, guys, they're just sleeping under the bleachers. It turns out that, what are we doing?
All right, guys, well, we're going to wrap it up. Hope you're looking forward to more No Way Squad East Coast.
No.
See you later.
East Coast.
East Coast. Oh.